Blog Talk Radio.
Ideals of preaching, but also practicing as well. So we not only say, follow your heart, we also try to do just that too as well. We don't even try, we just do it. Some people don't like it, and some people don't really care. You know, I've seen this a couple times where people say, oh, follow your heart? Are you nuts? I get myself in trouble doing that. Not realizing that in the process of seeing the truth, if you ran away from it, just take a look at the situation, the picture again, don't we? Because actually, if you're sitting and look at the situation with someone running away from the whole thing, have you really confronted it? So therefore, you saw the truth. So therefore, that's why you didn't go down that path. Something unfamiliar to you. So you thought you'd stay wherever you're at. You know, it's one of those things. People have to understand the idea of letting go of what is going to happen and the things that are going to be... I guess you would sit and say the power of selection. What's more important, your happiness or hanging on to everything? Well, if you sit there and say, well, there's things I want to keep, then you're hanging on to things. Not realizing going with the flow there is no accumulation of taking things with you. You just go with the flow, and you realize that certain things are going to be eliminated and pushed to the side in favor of your happiness. So therefore, you don't have to keep holding everything. And that's the idea. We're talking about letting go of baggage. Baggage is the idea of hanging on to everything. And then when you get to a point of seeing the truth, that's where all the confusion comes from. You know, all those things that you have kept hold of, all those past memories, all those past experiences and that kind of stuff, and you come to that point and say, well, today I'm going to follow my heart. And then you see something or someone or some situation that helps you see the truth. And then you wonder how come I'm confused, because it doesn't go along with your plan of hanging on to everything. If you got to hang on to your friends and hang on to your family, and you're trying to please everybody in the world, then I guarantee if you're exuding that kind of energy, then you're not pleasing yourself. Don't sit there and think as you are. Because I'm telling you right now, when you let go all the things that you thought you were dealing with, you start seeing them in a different light and realize that you don't have to deal with anything. You just let go. Because some people look at the situation, well, I got to find a job. Once you stop trying to find a job and follow your guidance, follow your heart. Trying to find somebody in my life because I'm lonely. So stop trying it. When it falls in your lap, embrace it. Same thing with the jobs and that kind of thing. I sit here and tell people all the time, I've experienced these things where you sit there and you want to find, at the time I was looking for a job, I thought it was interesting that I sit there and I was working for a job agency and then got tired of that whole thing. Like, I want a permanent, something permanent, something focused I can go to every day and I can focus on and really get some goals accomplished. In the process of realizing one thing, follow your guidance, follow your heart. What do you want to do? That's what I want to do. I want to get away from the landfill, which I thought was very dangerous, and go somewhere else. And next thing I know, I'm sitting here, I go home. Next thing I'm not getting work out of this job agency no more. I'm like freaking out. I need money. Then I stepped back for a minute and said, do what I want. So therefore, I don't need money. It's just something I want to attain. And then in the situation of realizing that the reason I wasn't getting any work out of that job agency anymore, because I was too busy looking to realize that something was going to drop in my lap. So I stopped and decided to read one of my spiritual books to get back on path, right? Like my angels were saying, sit down, start reading the books again, and get yourself grounded. As soon as I opened that book up, a business card that I had kept in there as a bookmarker fell out in my lap. I looked at the card, and the guidance didn't stop talking there. It told me to go call the number. I didn't have a phone number. Did I sit there and say, well, I don't have a phone number. I don't have a phone. Can't call. And then this card fell in my lap. The only thing I didn't have at the time was the phone. But we need to find. It's like, look at the situation. The guidance is sitting there going, but you do know somebody who does. And you only need to use the phone for like 2 minutes to call these people because you're going to get a job. I'm sitting there going, do I argue with it? Because every time I've ever argued with it, it just takes more time for me to get to the point of a miracle happening. So I sit there and said, no, we're not going to argue this time. I said, okay, fine. I mean, the card fell in my lap. I am looking for something, you know, permanent. I went and called the number. Do you know they called me back in 20 minutes? I had a job in 20 minutes. After all that stuff of going down the job agency, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, walking down the freaking streets looking for work, chafing my legs and all kinds of good stuff, if I just would have listened to my guidance that said, sit still, be silent, and hear the word of God, the angel's guidance, you'll save yourself a lot of wear and tear on your tennis shoes, and you won't need no more lotion for the inside of your legs because you shaped them so bad from walking up and down those sidewalks and never accomplished anything but that. So it was interesting in itself, I'm telling you. It's the same thing when you look at relationships. That's what I do with relationships too as well. You just go follow your heart. I'm not a person who dates everybody. I sit there and focus on one person, and I want to see where it's going to go, and I feel like to really find the truth is to follow your heart. To follow your heart means you follow it to the end, or to, not the end, it's the ideal of becoming one person to becoming us. That's the end of one phase, which begins another. And then I take the responsibility of exactly what I've manifested by bringing that person in my life to realize that something I did, said, or focused on brought that person into my life. No matter, we could look at outside circumstances. Maybe she's not the person, maybe she's not the age I was hoping for. Maybe she wasn't in the same country as I am, or maybe she wasn't all these other things. But see, the point is, we cross paths, and we have to sit there and look at the idea of technology, of looking at something that maybe twin flames had created, so therefore they could find each other. So therefore, technology can actually enhance a relationship, even the idea of the beginning one, if it's taken seriously. Instead of smacking someone on the face and say, well, since it didn't start off properly, or it didn't start in a certain way where it goes into your consciousness of the way you perceive things, maybe you should change your perception and look at the situation for what it happened. Because when two people meet, no matter if it's a career, a job, situation, a relationship, the thing that you really focus and pick up on at that moment is the energy. It's an energy transfer. People always say, wow, that was really overwhelming. What was that feeling? Or to sit there and go down the road and come to a realization and say, ooh, that was pretty powerful. What was that? I never realized I felt that way. Now I do. And then we have a certain part, what people get fearful and scared of, where it's going. Is it because it might actually happen? Just maybe it might become, it might be just exactly what they wanted. I wonder if people are really willing to take the responsibility of what they've manifested and say, okay, let's take the next step and live it. No matter where it goes, I'm not going to let fear keep me from my happiness and where I think I should be going in the process of listening to my guidance. But we do have a tendency to get those confused when we're sitting there going, I'm going to live my life the way I want to. I'm going to go down the path I want to go. Not realizing that your angels and guides are leading you down a path of happiness, happy, joyous events, situations, relationships, and that kind of stuff. But you chose the one of materiality. You didn't choose to follow your heart. You chose to follow your ego. And that's the confusion part. The ego sees the truth. The confusion steps in. Because there's no basis, there's no foundation for your thinking in the process of thinking and thinking and thinking and trying to figure it all out. If you look at the truth will set you free and the point of putting you in the stream of love, which will actually anchor those thought processes. And then you'll see, feel, know, and then with a sense of a newness to your eyes of being spiritual, the mind being spiritually illuminated, you also see the truth. Not just feel it and know it, you'll see it. And then you're going to start, like I said before, you're going to start seeing that all these things that you thought you had to deal with, you're taking on the responsibility of the world. And most people start to look at the situation, well, you're doing readings and stuff for people and that kind of stuff, so you're taking on the responsibility of the world. No, I'm not. You do what you want. What I'm doing is I'm sitting here passing the messages down, putting information out there of the things that I've experienced because of just that, following the heart. When you follow the heart, that's what happens. So when you sit here and look at the situation, I'm just passing this on to you too as well as taking one more step too with psychic abilities and intentions and all those things that go along with it to learn those skills to give you the information so therefore you can change, make better decisions in your own life so therefore things are going to change too. I'm just saying from experiences that I've been through, I know for a fact when I look at somebody and they're angry at me or they want nothing to do with me, we have to look past the situation. I guarantee when you find the truth, when you find your twin flame, of course you have to meet on the same wavelength. But there are times when you do meet on the same wavelength, and there's certain outside influences that are going to come in there. Like we were talking about before, why is it when I get with somebody, all my exes come start popping out of the woodwork to show you where you came from, what brought you to where you're at when you're with that person. To show you why you're with this person and not them. Okay? It's like telling you, have you let go of the past? They'll come back in many forms. So as you see these situations, you just sit there and tell yourself, maybe it's just simply you haven't forgiven them. And I know people say, well, they did things to me. Well, forgiveness is not the idea of condoning. Forgiveness is for you to let go. So therefore you can go forward and be with that certain person that you've met in the process of people coming to the forefront. So it's just helping you cut loose everything so therefore you can focus and embrace exactly what's happening. If you get pulled backwards and you're living a life where those people were telling you those things and you're still living that, then you basically gave up on your future of the happiness that was probably going to be like 10 times what you can even imagine. And even ask yourself, in the process of being with that one person, if you are a person out there who has walked away from something, you know, ask yourself if you have a tendency to resonate or remember or certain things about the whole thing. And maybe that when it resurfaces, you get angry at it because you're just not willing to look at how you really felt, which obviously you still feel the same way. But take a look at those situations and those parts of your life. Change them. You don't get scared of change. You know, people say, well, this person's trying to change me. Is it really the person that's trying to change you, or is he just making suggestions of what he sees by seeing the best of you? Think it that way. Don't go to defense mode and say, well, this person's trying to change me, or they're trying to control me in some sense of the word. If you're even talking about someone trying to control you, you should look at how the lack of control you have on your own life. But you might have just met a person who just knows what he wants. He knows what to do. He has no indecisiveness about the whole thing. Which, if you think about manifestations of relationships, we're looking for people to be there for us, to be with us, to share our lives with. You know? Because is it really going to hurt you for someone to say, well, I think you'd be great at this, you'd be great at that. Do you even consider it? The true test of a controlling person is to sit there and say, well, I've considered it, I've looked it over, but I don't think I want to go down that road. And the person just looks at you and go, okay, no problem. I support you in whatever you want to do. I'm just saying to you, there's certain things about certain things that I see that don't set with me right. So I just hope you take a look at it, of course, when you feel like you should. And if you've already done that, then it's just move on and see what happens. The nice conversation is, no one's really controlling each other, but people are, don't you want somebody to love you deeply to sit there and say, I feel like this person's going to walk into a brick wall, but can still sit back and go, okay, if you want to continue to walk into that brick wall, then do it. Because it's basically what we're doing is we're just sitting there waiting with the towel, hoping for the realization to happen so we won't have to keep watching you hit that wall. But that can be painful, too, to watch somebody do something that you wish you could divert, which you know you can, to go down that path where they just walk away from the whole situation and refuse to follow their heart. But we never stop loving them. We never stop caring for them. And we never will. They always sit there and say, well, let's just be friends. Well, we just can't be friends because we're always going to be feeling more and more and more for that person just because we know them and we have that association with them. So more likely, I think it's one of those situations where you look at it and go, okay, if that's the intensity about the whole thing, why is the person not looking at the other part? And why is the person even saying, this just be friends? In the process of saying, this just be friends, the person knows there's more there. They can only deal with, they're thinking they can only deal with so much. They don't realize the problem with the whole thing is a lot of people are not going to deal with that. That's the idea of walking away and not wanting to be friends with them. It's the idea of realizing that they can't. Not that moment. Doesn't mean they never will be. But you shouldn't get very angry with them because they won't do what you want them to do. Isn't that kind of like being a little contradictive? Because you're sitting there saying, don't try to control me. Don't try to change me. But in the situation of certain things you can't control or you can't deal with, you try to control everybody else. It's still called control. Look it in the dictionary, okay? Sit and look at the situation and what we're going on, and we're kind of like going on to a little too soon here, a little too much. But I'm just saying, with the situation, it seems like relationships are the most important thing in our lives. I want everybody to see relationships for what they are. And I guarantee you, if you follow your heart, you will get everything you need and want and desire. So take that to the bank. And if you've caught yourself in the past, recently or whatever, and you've done exactly that, ask yourself, why did you really walk away from the situation? When it was probably based on, we don't need to know what the fear is itself, but we know it was a fear of some kind. And ask yourself, maybe the reason you're not in a good relationship right now is because you haven't confronted that fear. Or if there's chaos or confusion, or let's say you run into that person, and they still make you angry, and they make you upset, but you don't really understand why, it's just a reaction, it just happens. Take some time for yourself, okay? Take a look at talk to your angel, your guide. Everything's with you, and ask why. And come to a conclusion, because it could be that one thing, that one block that keeps you from a happy relationship. So let's go on to our callers, and we just want to sit here and say thank you all for being here, and thank you for your patience, and please jump back in the queue. We do have a show. It's for 2 hours long, and we've actually been able to stay on an hour more. So we're actually here for 3 hours answering your questions, and we've even been known to call you after a show because we felt we really wanted to get to you. We do this a lot more. It's one of those situations. We want to make sure we answer everybody's questions, even if we have to take it to the next step and call you after the show. Make sure those questions are answered. Yes, we do want to do private readings, and we want to make a very comfortable living just like anybody else would do with it when they have their own business. But I just feel like it's when it's, you just got to do the work until you feel like you've done enough. Not let the world tell you that you took too long with that person or maybe you didn't take enough time with that person. We go with the flow. We follow our hearts on this show. We sit there and make sure we get everybody. So therefore, stay in the queue. I know people wait and the waiting can be long, but I guarantee you, when you get on, we will take the same amount of time with you as we do with everybody else. And also in the process of this whole situation, I forgot one thing. The chat room. I'm going to open the chat room, guys. We're going to take our first caller. As soon as we get this chat room thing open. So with the situation and that whole thing, I also want to urge you to go get some HemiSync CDs. The holiday seasons are coming up. This would be a great, fantastic gift to give somebody. These CDs are great. They're great for meditation, especially for people who are trying to make a change in their lives and are looking for something that can actually open up and help them focus and concentrate on exactly what they're trying to do. And these CDs are great for that. So check them out. And on that note, let's go to our first caller. What's his area code? 281. And 281.
Susan.
281.
Hi.
I'm sorry, but this switchboard drives me crazy sometimes. We get those little spinning circles where you got to wait until they stop spinning before you actually get to hear somebody.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah. I can definitely hear you now. And you say you're what's your name now, Susan?
Susan.
And Susan, you've called the show before, haven't you?
I don't think I think I've called you, but I don't think I got to talk to you.
Okay.
I think I waited or I hung up or something like that.
No problem, then. You go right ahead. How can we help you tonight?
Sure. I've had this ear infection for quite some time, and I am under a doctor's care. It's to do with allergies and so forth, and it's all in the sinuses, but it goes in, it causes phlegm in the lungs, and then it causes this blockage in your ears where you can't pop your ears all the way. It's like they've got fluid in them. And I've been on some antibiotics. I really like this doctor. He's in another state where I used to live. And I saw him, and he put me on antibiotics and allergy medicine and also some other things. And I finished the antibiotics, and I called up the nurse, and I told her that my lungs are a lot better, but my ears are not. It's the ears. My question is about the ears. So she said, try another round of antibiotics. If that didn't work, come back and see us, and the doctor will drain your ears. And that's just something where you kind of go in the hospital, you're underneath anesthetic, and he just puts some tubes in your ears, and it helps the ears to drain. I have a very positive feeling about him doing that. So I wanted to know, would that help, and will I finally get my ears back to normal? You know, will they get
exactly what is he going to do?
Well, if this round of antibiotics doesn't heal my ears to where I can't pop them anymore, you know, I'm having trouble popping them. It's like they've got fluid in them. Then I would go to his office and he would put little tubes in my ears. They do this to children, you know, when they have ear infections. And then it allows the ear to drain, the fluid to drain out of the ear.
Huh. Not because, saying, like I said, well,
what?
I was picking up on the thing myself, and it was just almost like I could smell it. It's like, do you ever, when you're having trouble with your ears, it's like you could, I've had ear infections myself before.
Yeah.
And what I found out was it's the water. It's one of those things you have to take outside sources. And what I had to do, I lived in Florida, and there's bacteria in the water, and it's really hard in Florida, especially with the climate and everything like that, especially when it's warm. I had to take and put cotton balls and then put Vaseline across those to seal my ears up so I wouldn't get no water in my ears, period. And then everything started clearing itself up and going away. And that was the first thing that popped in my head. Plus, I could also remember how I could smell the infection in my ears. That's why I got with you.
You can smell the infection?
Yeah, because he's talking about putting tubes in ears. Is that a surgical process or what?
Yeah, it's a little surgical process, but they do it with children, and it has very good effects. The children don't get the ear infections anymore, and they put them in there, and, you know, I guess I think they're only left in there temporarily.
Okay,
but
I understand that. But what I'm saying with the situation is it's a procedure that actually puts something foreign in your body.
Yeah.
It's something. There's a lot of people who get good results from hip replacements too, but then again, they didn't really have any mobility in the first place, so therefore it brought some mobility back. So they're happy with the whole situation, but I just feel like there's more solutions here with what you're looking at. I feel like, realistically, I feel like the situation, the antibiotics are going to help this time. I just feel like there's outside sources that are causing certain things too, that. Different precautions, you wouldn't have to go through putting the tubes in your ears. But I just feel like, when I focus on the tubes themselves, I feel like it's another procedure that has actually helped many people because of certain situations that they've been put into. But I also feel like they've taken it one step further where they want to give it to everybody instead of looking for the solution to what's causing it in the first place. Because draining your ears is one thing, but what is actually causing the whole thing to happen in the first place? Where you have to have that kind of draining.
Well, my doctor thinks that I have acute sinusitis due to allergies.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, the sinuses are really the problem. The sinuses are the problem, and the sinuses
mm-hmm.
cause the fluid. Because there's something wrong with the sinuses, the fluid gets stuck in the ears. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. No, I understand what you're saying, but I'm just saying that you're getting your information from the person who is a doctor. And I'm just saying, when I focus on the situation, I keep saying, it's like I keep this message from Angel. A perfect, healthy body is not allergic to anything. And people go, well, I was born this way, or certain things happen. And you sit and go, okay, that's great. But at the same time, we're talking about perfection. It's also leaning on the terms of healing oneself. Therefore, it doesn't matter if you're born with anything. I heard this a lot from a lot of people. I keep thinking everybody going, hereditary. Is it really hereditary, or is it hereditary thinking? Because people have a tendency to tell you these things before they even happen. And certain things happen. Even I'll sit here talking for a moment. And I says, might sound crazy to some people, but even before you're born, you still hear everything that happens on the outside of that womb.
Uh-huh.
And so therefore, in the process of picking up thoughts, you don't, whatever, because I've had people say, well, you know, those thoughts never happened to me. I never knew that it was hereditary. And I said, you sure about that? Because you might have picked up something before you were even born, while you're in the womb, listening to all the stuff going around you. Because we know for a fact, we've seen situations and family situations of people being pregnant women being abused. So the idea you're wondering about those things, what I'm saying to you is, I guess to get down to the bottom line of the whole thing, it says that you need to focus on finding a solution for yourself, because the doctor is limited to what he knows because of what he's been taught. But he sees certain things, and yes, you have certain things within your body, your sinuses and certain things that cause these ailments, but what causes them to do that? It's an imbalance within your body that somehow someone needs to correct. And when I look at it, it's almost like tracing it down and finding out what kind of blood type you are, to find out certain things that you're actually taking into your body, not just the idea of the outside, or even maybe protecting your ears when you take showers, but also to watch what you put in your body. But it's a proven fact that O-type blood types who have I'm trying to say this right. People who have O type blood, which is one of the oldest blood types, sometimes can't tolerate, especially dairy products. And what happens in the body when you drink dairy products is it affects your sinuses, it affects your immune system, and it also makes you very bloated. And sometimes we just associate these things with, oh, I just drink a little bit of milk. But it's causing more things within your body that actually makes your body more susceptible to allergies. So what we're saying is it's like tracing it to a source, not looking for something to mask it over. Because in the process of draining your ears and getting them healed again, it's the idea of what caused the ailment in the first place. Because if you don't find that, then you'll be going back through the process again, more than likely, because the body's still susceptible to that whole thing. Even just the idea of changing your thinking. And you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, then, are you getting any messages on what's causing it all?
That's what I'm saying. The idea of blood type. I mean, the first thing that came to me was I had to stop drinking all kinds. I had to stay away from dairy products, period, because what happened was I was getting migraines, and I was getting ear infection, and certain things, even toothaches and all kind of stuff. It was kind of funny that when I stopped drinking any kind of milk or any kind of dairy products or anything that has any milk in it at all, but a lot of us don't realize there are certain things when we, I can't say the word, when we, like Alfredo, or certain things like that, that might have milk in them, or cookies, or anything like that. It affects your body in a certain way because of the blood type that you are. So therefore, when your sinuses work themselves up and that kind of stuff, in the situation of having that connection that you have, then it'll affect your ears. And so on, and just all the things, and the allergies are talking about. I think you have allergies. Okay, that's great. But this is kind of like, look at the allergy. What's causing the allergy? And every time I think about the whole thing, it's like a balance. It's an imbalance within your body. So that was the thing I got to a point where it's find out what kind of blood type you are and take it from there and go, could it be simply just changing something, not taking it in my body anymore? Because I know for a fact when I stopped drinking milk and even soda, I lost about 3 or 4 inches off my waist. And also the migraines stopped. And then I found out the only reason I got migraines was because I had an ex-wife that was driving me crazy. But, you know, I just stopped associating with her. And that went away, too. But I did notice before that even happened, you know, why do I have migraines? So I started looking for the source, not looking for something to mask it over. I was looking for something so it would stop. Same thing with headaches and that kind of thing. We look for things to get rid of the pain, not realizing the pain's telling us something. I think it's breathing on that one. I'm just saying I feel very strongly about the situation of certain things that you're taking in your body, certain things that are almost like environmental. It's just the idea of you finding what those are. And people think it's kind of crazy, like you're saying, well, point these things out to you, but or what they are. But I think sometimes the information that I do get also enables you to find it yourself. So therefore you have more confidence in yourself that when something does arise, you know where to go.
Then it sounds like I need to go to an allergist and find out what I'm allergic to.
Yeah.
Which could be milk.
But obviously, one reason I was suggesting to you about, you know, also doing the work yourself, because I know for a fact I started noticing certain things too, and then I went to check out my blood type and found out I think O positive. And I started looking at those things, and it was great. It's like we had some people with O blood, and most of the time you have trouble with grain, dairy products, where you have to substitute those things out. Even the idea of taking in too much red meat, where you substitute it for soy. So you see the blood type, and just finding out what your blood type is can really open a lot of doors to finding out the solution of what you're looking for. And the reason I say that is because I just feel like a surgical procedure is just a waste of time. Because it will. I'm not going to sit here and say it won't drain your ears and you heal up quickly, but I just feel like the antibiotics are going to work this time. And I think in the process of finding out what's causing the allergy in the first place will be the solution. So I don't feel like you need to go that far to get those tubes in your ears.
Okay, so what you think is that this round of antibiotics, you think this time will help?
Yes, I do.
On my ears.
But when you find the outside sources that can be causing the infection, and finding what causes the allergies, then the flu will go away too, because one thing is those allergies are not being, they're not there anymore. You found what was causing the allergies, because the allergies were causing the sinuses and everything else to act the way it was, which affected the ears.
Okay.
So what
I'm getting from all this is that, number one, this round of antibiotics are going to help a lot this time.
Yes.
And number two, just go to an allergist and find out what I'm allergic to.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could. I guess what I'd go around these things is the idea of saving people money from doing that route. Anyway, I'll have insurance.
Well, I wouldn't know how else to find out what it is that I'm taking in that I'm allergic to. You know what I'm saying?
Fasting. Yes. I understand what you're saying, but what I did was it was the idea of fasting.
Yeah, but I can't do that.
Why can't you?
Because, you mean fasting and not eating, period? Or just not taking certain foods?
It's simply just the idea of fasting for 5 days. No, I
just can't because I can't do that. It's just very hard for me to do that. I've got pre-diabetes, and I have to eat, you know, something,
mm-hmm.
protein. I have to have some protein. It's very important. But,
you do what you think you have to do, but I'm just saying with you, when the process of fasting is the idea of cleansing the body, when you start realizing that a lot of things that you do have, not just finding out the source of this one.
Well,
I could try to
go on a type of fast where I'm eating all, raw vegetables, you know, like a raw food diet. I could do that.
Okay.
But I would still be having some sort of food.
I'm saying, just do what you want. I'm saying what you feel you should do. I'm just saying, if you want to, just eliminate, like we were talking about before. I know for a fact that dairy products and on that kind of level do affect your sinus, where you get more mucus and fluids in those areas.
Yeah.
So in the process of looking at all certain things and cutting those out and try the vegetable thing. Because, I mean, realistically, a lot of people, when they fast, they still take herbs and they still eat some vegetables and they drink lots of water.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I've also found those people who said they had diabetes and all kinds of stuff. They don't have it anymore. Because what it was just certain things with their bodies, like we said before.
Right.
The illness or disease is it when the body's not at ease. So it's an imbalance.
Yeah.
To have a perfect body is to also have a frame of mind that says I have a perfect body. That's why a lot of us don't go to doctors, because doctors will always tell us that we don't have perfect bodies because of their teaching and what they've been through. I'm not saying all of them too, because I don't know all of them, but I know the ones I've talked to have a limited thinking about certain things. It wasn't until we take it to one step and say, okay, I work with my angels and God. They say do this. They don't say things that you should do that will hurt you.
Yeah.
They're leading you down a path to cleanse your body completely of all things, to realize that a lot of things, and this has been a proven fact, that by doing those fastings and that kind of stuff, people who thought they had MS, diabetes, people who thought they had certain things with their bodies, they were just certain things that they had been taking in their bodies that built up a toxic.
Right.
Toxins in their bodies. And once those toxins were gone, the certain things were affecting their muscle things and that kind of stuff. They're no longer... there or something like that. So it's amazing with the situation, but you're right. You have to get to a point where you're comfortable to go that far too as well. So if you want to start with the vegetables and that kind of stuff, because mine was one of those situations where I did it because our family has diabetes.
Uh-huh.
So I put myself in those situations too, because I used to have an ailment too that if I didn't eat and I let myself go for a couple of days, all the energy in my body would drain down to the point where I couldn't move, and I had to have someone give me something, whatever it was, to get my systems back up. And I started realizing what it was just the body rebooting itself like a computer. And then once we got past that point, if I would have just held in there a little bit longer, then the strengths would have all returned because of all the toxins that were going away that were affecting my body in a certain way of taking in too much sweets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That were just cleansing it out, and the body was basically shutting down for a few just to reboot itself to get back up where it was before because of the change. And sometimes we have a tendency to stop. Right before, the solution's going to come popping in. So. But the idea of vegetables and that kind of stuff, if that's what you feel like you need to do, then fine. You go that route and do what you feel is more comfortable.
But you think maybe this round of antibiotics might clear up my ears this time?
Yeah, I do.
To where I can pop them and they feel fine, feel normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, meaning they get healed.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Okay.
But, see, the one thing I also saw was the idea of listening to your own intuition, too. As you were talking, what I would see was I was seeing visions of the angels, like taking their hands and putting them over your ears and whispering to you. So it's the idea of asking yourself just a little question about who do you listen to? Do you listen to yourself or do you listen to everybody else? And what it means by that is not the idea that most people say, well, you know, I make decisions and stuff. It's just the idea that sometimes we have a tendency when there are certain people, and you can say what you want to, I've got caught up in myself. Just because a person is in a certain position, I have a tendency to listen to them without question. When it's just a position that kind of makes me powerless to go, okay, you know. Because I've been in situations, especially with cops, who didn't know what the hell they were talking about. But for some reason, I went along with the whole thing because of their position.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, with the situation, I'm looking at these things and that kind of stuff, and then stepping outside the box for a second. And when you're eating a vegetable diet, just ask yourself with the situation. Sometimes people can go fasting and kind of like they can fast to the point where they kind of ease into it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll start eliminating things.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll, like you said before, you're eating your vegetable diet and you're doing the whole thing, and then they go, well, that feels pretty good, and they'll take it one step further and they'll eliminate something else.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe only fast for a couple of days, but it was a gradual getting to that one point.
Right. Okay.
But also
right.
The situation, I'm just saying, when you talk to a doctor or a certain situation arises, this is a really good opportunity to really sit down with your angels and go, what do you think? Do you think this person's on the ups and ups? Should I really do this and that kind of thing? And just listen. Don't really think about it. Just take a deep breath and go, okay, angel, what do you think? And just listen to what you hear.
Okay. But you do feel like that eventually my ears will get healed. I'll get over this, right?
Oh, yeah. I also feel like with the situation, if you take that one path and just kind of do certain things with yourself and find out maybe the idea of finding out your blood type and just little things around the whole thing, I think you could also eliminate the idea of the allergic reaction, too. So therefore, it won't recur itself again. It won't reoccur.
Okay.
But that's my biggest concern, is trying to keep it from ever happening again.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it sounds like the situation will be on the up and up then.
Oh, most definitely. I'm sorry if I went into so much detail about the whole thing, but, you know, just trying to go with the flow.
Okay.
But I definitely did see the angels say, listen, and because I saw them whispering in your ears. And I felt like sometimes physical ailments have a tendency to materialize because of maybe just simply not listening to the guidance that's coming through. So it comes as a physical ailment to point that out, so you focus more on that area. And you start seeing things yourself. But that's what I was saying. The things I eliminated, too, was just the idea of picking up certain things. I picked up this CD set about this guy was talking about blood type and how it's more important to find what your blood type is before you go on a diet. So there you can figure out not just the idea of eating right, but what's eating right for yourself,
mm-hmm.
not what the world says. Because a lot of books are detailed to a group of people. And one of those things is tracing it down to an individual, because we're all individually... We all individually have a tendency to react to certain things differently than most people. Even with the same kind of environment, same kind of foods and that kind of stuff, we all have a tendency to react in different ways. And it's all been traced down to a spiritual imbalance within you. So I'm saying, take a look at all the sides here. But like I said before, take the antibiotics. I don't think you're going to have to go this far to actually put the tubes in your ears.
Okay. All right. That's great.
Just like I said, and try the vegetable diet.
Okay.
If you start taking certain things out of your diet, when I try to put this in perspective, because I was like, say it right, because what I'm saying is, when you sit there and do this, you're listening and feeling it. And that's what I did. I noticed that when I stopped drinking the milk, I noticed a difference in me. That I didn't have sinus problems. I used to have migraines, sinus problems all the time. And then I stopped drinking dairy products altogether, and that went down. And then I tried to figure out why I got angry all the time, why I was so aggressive, and why my temper would fly off so easily. And then someone said something about red meat. So I sat there and said, well, okay, I don't think that could be it. But then I reduced my red meat down to where I was just eating turkey and fishes. And all of a sudden, my aggression level dropped by 50%.
Huh.
So, you know, and then same thing with vegetables. I know for a fact when I don't eat, and then I eat vegetables, and I eat the fishes, basically fish. I was eating kippers and tuna and salmon. That I just felt a whole lot better, and I felt thinner.
Yes. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, all right. Yeah, I just want to get rid of it, get this back, my ears back to normal, because I've been dealing with this since the month of June. It's
okay.
been this long.
Oh, I understand. Believe me.
But you think that it will heal and it'll all be over with and I'll get back to normal on my ears.
Yes, I do. Because the reason I was stressed that whole thing about the idea of finding a source was because of my situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I got the ear infections when I was in Florida, I mean, it was like every other week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, okay, there's got to be something more to this thing. It's just taking medicine. I almost killed myself with a Tylenol. I was taking like a bottle of Tylenol a week.
Mm.
And my face and my whole side of my head swelled up because of the ear infection. So believe
mm-hmm.
me, I know what you're talking about. And it was the ideal, even after the medicines and stuff like that, it was the irritation of my ears being clogged up where you couldn't pop them. And I started
mm-hmm.
taking the medicine they used to give you. You took those little drops and you dropped them in your ears. I was actually taking those tubes and Q-tips and cleaning my ears out because some of those things you put in your ears, the ear drops, they actually have residue that stays in your ears. If you can sit there and trust yourself enough to take and clean them out, it also takes a lot of things out where the infection stops coming back too. So there's some things working there that can work against you. But believe me, when you have an ear infection so badly that they have to take a device, they need to even push a little sponge in there so the medicine can even get in there. It does drive you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until I actually looked for outside sources instead of trusting the doctors that I actually found the solution that I needed to do. And it was just simply diet. And it never happened. And I don't think I've had an infection for a long time. But I did do that with my ears, too. I just didn't trust nothing. I started taking precautions of putting cotton balls in my ears and putting Vaseline over top of the sealant so that water would get in my ears. Once my ears healed up at one time, I did all these things for like months until I got to the point where I was like, okay, I feel like I don't do that anymore. And that's when I was at the same time I was protecting my ears from getting infected. That's when I was looking for the allergies and the dieting thing and that kind of stuff and changed those. So therefore, when I felt safe enough to take my ears and just take a shower, I had done the work before I did that. So I protected my ears so they wouldn't get, so nothing would ever happen to them again.
Yeah.
So I found a solution. And that's what I was saying. And I couldn't afford to go to the doctor all the freaking time. I couldn't afford the Tylenol either.
Okay. All right.
That was before I leave. Sorry, I didn't mean to go so long on the whole thing, but I'm just saying. The bottom line is the antibiotics will work, and start checking your diet and the outside source. If there's anything affecting you, with your allergies or something like that, or environment and your diet and the antibiotics will work this time. Okay?
Okay. Great.
I'm sorry to keep you for so long. But.
Oh, no, it's fine. You didn't keep me. I was worrying I was keeping you too long.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
is there anything else the angels want to tell me, even if it's something else outside this subject?
No, the thing I get the most is the idea of trust. This would give you a really good chance to actually really trust yourself for a change, because you feel like sometimes you just don't have enough confidence in yourself to actually find the solutions to a lot of things. And they also get this impression about relationships, though.
Okay.
When I focus on you, I don't feel like you're with anybody.
Well, I'm with somebody, but we're having problems. It's just kind of like, yeah, it's kind of like I'm
mm-hmm.
alone. Yeah.
Yeah, because when I focus on you, that's what I'm saying. That's what I said. The thing that came to me the most was I'm focusing on you. I feel like you're not with anybody. And I said, for some reason, that's alarming to me. So it's a situation of something else that needs to be confronted. You guys still live together?
Yeah.
Because like I said before, when you start saying I feel alone, I don't
yeah.
see anybody around you.
Yeah.
And I feel like that for some reason, I would say, since I can't really pick up on him, I feel like he is having issues of his own.
Yeah.
Of actually, looks like he gets the impression he has a problem trusting his own feelings, and he has a tendency to act those out in an unfavorable way.
Yeah, that's true.
When he's irritated. So, what they're saying, what the situation is, you know, once you start taking your focus off this thing yourself, the things that are happening with the relationship, you'll see those, you'll see the answers for those too. But you have to deal with yourself in this situation you're talking about. So therefore, the situation with your relationship, they keep saying, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, stop worrying about it.
Yeah, stop worrying about it, not start. We would never say worry, because worry is a lack of faith.
Okay.
In the process of worry, we said another situation, we said at the beginning of the show, it's the idea of following your heart. No matter how you don't want to see the truth, I guarantee if you follow that path of truth, you'll know why. Because it's the solution to what you're looking for. Because we're all thinking right now at this moment, our perceptions are telling us because of our fears. But once we walk and go forward, where we know we need to go down that path, then we'll see that we don't need to hang on to certain things anymore.
Uh-huh.
A lot of things change in our lives. We just don't understand that change is important, not a scary thing. Okay?
Okay. So are they saying that I need to change relationships?
No, they're saying you need to change your perception and say, okay, if you try this, I've done this before. I do it all the time. I say, the reason I get upset sometimes, and sometimes I get people say, you're really getting passionate as you come to the phone line. It's because of following your heart and not saying, okay, what are people going to think? It's one of those things of just following your passion, what you love to do, what you feel like you need to do because of the love that you have, not just for yourself, but for humanity, to say, I really hope this information comes across, they actually do something with it, to the point where we come across very passionately. Some people might say, well, you seem a little bit angry. Well, when you start seeing things, and it might be personal experiences. I mean, I just had an experience with a girl who I know for a fact, she walked away from a relationship because it was exactly what she wanted. And it's like, can we get down to the point of asking ourselves, why would someone want to walk away from somebody who deeply loves them and knows it? Because we're all taught that, you know, the thing I hear in readings is people go, well, if this guy's pulling away from me, I guess he's got somebody else. And why would you think that? Because of your own fears of not following your heart to realize that people have a tendency to be scared of things. So I sit here and look at the girl I'm talking about. I look at her and people are like, why do you deal with that? I can't go around and say, I follow my heart and I'm a deep, loving, caring person if I'm going to sit there and be mad and angry at her and judge her because of her not doing things the way I wanted to do them. I'm trying to sit there and look at the situation as what it is. This person is who she is. And I'm trying to put myself in a situation of saying, I love and respect this person unconditionally for who she is. And she's never going to do things the way I think she should do them. And that's good because I don't want her to. I just make suggestions. What I see, and as a psychic and as being very intuitive, when you meet the right person, you do see more than most. And that's the point. People have to understand that when you're in the right relationship, right situation, right career, you see things just for what they are. And people around you are still seeing things through their perception. They haven't come to the realization yet. So therefore, to take advice from them, that'd be kind of a crazy thing to look at somebody who's broke down and says, hey, you can ride with me if you want. If you want to ride with them, they have no tires in their car. They're not going anywhere. So the idea of the proposal is like looking at the situation for what it is. Here's a person who just hasn't got their situation together yet. Why would you want to jump in their little situation when you've got a great situation going on? All you need is gas. These are going to be forward, you know. So it's one of those things of looking at the situation and go, okay. We don't get mad at the person for making the offer. And we just look at them going, they got some issues. They got some things to take care of. But does it make them a bad person? No, it doesn't. It's just maybe they're not dealing with the way we want them to. Like, go buy some tires. They're sitting there waiting on the side of the road for, you know, waiting for four tires to actually roll down the road. Now, that's a little ridiculous. But, you know, in the sense of manifestation, you never know. But I'm just saying, just because we don't get it that moment doesn't mean we shouldn't crucify those people. And that's what I'm saying with the situation I was talking about. It was like, you look at them, you love them, you care about them. You stay true to who you are. You love who you are. So therefore, you know you love them. And you know for a fact if that's the case, then it's mutual. You just have to wait for them to deal with their fears, their insecurities, the things they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And just make sure that you are the most clearest, let me put this, just make sure that you are ready for it when they do come back, because they will. In some shape or form, they will. And more likely, they'll come back the way you wanted to. But in the sense of the separation, you have to be true to yourself and do what you need to do. Prepare yourself for the situation, what you want. And maybe it's the idea of looking at yourself and going, okay, what happened? What did I do? Or what didn't I do? Don't beat yourself up. I'm just saying, ask the question, listen to the answers, and then, I don't know, simply what I do is I sit down, look at the situation, and go, okay, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, I knew exactly what it was. And trust yourself when you say those things, and then just go live your life. You know, go play tennis. Go do what you got to do. But always remember one thing. Nothing's happening right this moment, so why worry about it? That's what worry does. It takes time away from you. And you could actually be out there living your life. Playing tennis, playing golf, taking a walk, whatever it is. Doing that writing you need to be doing. Put that book together. Things like that. Do your show. I do my show. But I guarantee you, in the process of you living your life, that those people are supposed to be a part of your life. You have to live it. So therefore, when you come together, you're sharing your lives together. Not empty void or space or something you think you're going to do. Because I always tell people flat out, the word complete, you complete me, that means I found a missing piece. It's the other piece of the, you know, we have these many pieces of our lives, our careers, we have relationships, we have all these things, but we're still individuals. And therefore, the idea of living as an individual, when we come together and actually start sharing your lives together, you can actually say us and have confidence in that whole thing. And if you're having problems with the situation of separation in your relationship, it's the idea of asking yourself, too, is there any separation within yourself? And these are the keys that you got. These are the key things you look at. Because all of a sudden you look at the situation of a person who says things. And I tell people all the time, we can't analyze these until doomsday. It's not until they actually make a decision to do something that actually something's going to happen. But make sure you're ready for it when they do make that move. And the situation of when people start listening, when you hear people say, well, my friend said this or that, and they start giving these fears, I say, look at the situation. If you have people that are playing on those fears, they have the fears themselves. So therefore, if you're about ready to make a move to go back with a person that you knew for a fact that took you away from these people, it's the idea of realizing that the people that you're being pulled away from in favor of the person that you're deeply in love with, who does love you, that those people are still living in their fears, and they choose to stay there. And the reason they're trying to play on your fears is because they want you to stay there.
Okay.
You see somebody act. To see somebody actually get what they want, since they've never had anything, or maybe we should say that things are not going the way they think they should. And here's a reflection of somebody who's going out and do what they want to do. Sometimes they have a tendency to pull those people back down because they don't like that reminder.
Okay. What?
So if you have a situation, I'm just saying, for some reason, the situation we're talking about, because there's a separation here, and it's just not the ideal two people. It's the ideal emotions and feelings, and two people feeling pretty similar, just dealing with it in different ways.
Okay.
So I just feel like I think there's a combination here of a lot of things going on with some of the things you're experiencing, not just the physical part.
Okay. All right.
Thank you very much. I'm just saying, with the situation of finding all these things out for yourself.
Okay.
It might solve the problems between you and the person you're with. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
I'm sorry. I hope I didn't drown you with too much information.
No, it's all right.
But if you have any questions about that later on or whatever, you just want to call me or whatever.
Okay.
Get some clarification or something like that, feel free to do so, okay?
I will do that. Thank you very much.
Oh,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. We just want to take a minute and ponder on that first. Like, sometimes you just don't understand the information that comes through, but you just got to get it out. Because if I don't get it out, people sitting there looking at me while I'm doing my show, and that right now we're actually running streaming on Block TV. Okay, we're live right now. I forgot to say that to everybody. We're actually live on Block TV, sending out the old emails, and giving everybody a chance to look at that. you know, and just looking at some of the things that are going on. If we could just find the solutions, not just the relationship that I was talking about, and understand what we understand the fears, we just wish we could be a part of that, helping them to deal with their own fears. It might clear up a lot of things for everybody. And also, I guess we would go down to the bottom thing and say, okay, just follow your heart. You'll see what we're talking about. So I really want to sit here and look at the situation. I'm really tired of people saying, I followed my heart and I got in trouble. I want you to look at the situation, and again, and I really want you to take a look at the situation. I want you to really look at the whole thing again and be totally honest with yourself and ask yourself what it really was. Because in the process of, you say, getting yourself in trouble, it's the idea of a realization. It could have been simply saying that you didn't follow your heart. You followed your ego. Correct the situation. Because I guarantee you can definitely tell the difference. Because if you're sitting there in the process of, when I sit there and look at people who say they're confused and they're doing all these things, you know, they start doing all this stuff on the outside and they never talk about anything else realistically. And they just really take themselves away from anything that could actually find them the answer. And they start all the outside thing and they keep saying they think. And they just, all this stuff, they're in their head. They're just really in their head. That's a proven example that they're not thinking, they're not really following their heart. Because in the process of thinking, you're going to hear people say, I think I should do this. What will people think? You know, in the process of me doing this, what will people think? What will society do? You're thinking outside instead of going inside and looking at yourself and go, how do I really feel? And if there's certain things that come into your life that you don't want in your life because they keep reminding you of where you almost went, and you realize later on that you haven't followed your heart, then more than likely the reason you're distancing yourself from that person or situation is because if you go down that route, you'll see the truth. You'll know what's up. You'll know what's going down, and you'll freak out because you're running away from it. Just ask yourself, am I thinking too much today, or do I know? But see, in the process of following your heart, you'll know. If you're sitting there thinking about the whole thing and then thinking through the whole process, then you're in your head. We're trying to get the balance out here where if you do the right thing, as in what do you feel you should do, and follow that feeling and it resonates in your body, right in the heart area. That's the point, right there. You can just feel a certain glow about yourself when that person's name is mentioned or that situation or something where you know, Colorado. I was thinking about the LDI, like I get just a certain feeling. It just goes over me when it happens. Even the idea of going to England, that was a nice vibration too within the heart too. That can definitely be a good experience to experience. It's just one of those things getting past the fear. Let's go on to our next caller. Area code. That's not an area code. It's actually, let me see here. Okay. We'll go right here. Area code. Okay, 202, welcome to the show. How are you, and what's your name?
Good. My name is Sophia.
Sophia?
Sophia.
Lucia? Sophia?
Yeah.
My tongue's all twisted up on that one. Sorry.
That's okay.
So what's the one thing we can help you with today, tonight?
Well, kind of like my... romantic love life situation has kind of been on my mind. I'm kind of seeing somebody, sort of, and we've known each other like for some months, but it's not like a bona fide relationship. And there's this guy at my job who likes me, but I don't know, I can't seem to make that move over, or I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I guess I feel like maybe I already know the situation, like what I should do. But
mm-hmm.
I, you know, the guy that I'm trying to see, I just really, really like him. I guess I'm kind of hoping
mm-hmm.
that, you know, something will turn around or something.
Okay, so there's this guy at work that you do like.
I mean, I sort of like him. The thing is, I can tell he's a really good guy, but I'm kind of not attracted to him. I mean, he's growing on me because he's a nice guy, but.
Okay, so you look at the situation and go, okay, the physical stuff's not happening as fast as I think I should do, but the more I get to know the guy, the more I like him.
Right.
Not realizing that actually, in the sense of the word, you're actually doing it the right way instead of actually going out there and playing what do they call that freaking game where Twister. Because seriously, I think, you know, it's amazing with some of these relationships that you see last for a long, long, long time. One commentator about the whole thing is they made a decision to themselves not to let the body rule their mind. And we're not talking about the heart. We're talking about the body. And that's what I want. And then we're going to do the freaking horizontal bop. And then later on, we're like, okay, the guy ran away from me. Why did the guy run away from me for? Because guys are stupid. They think they can deal with anything. Every emotion that comes to their freaking bones, they think, well, I can have my way with this woman. And if the feelings come up, I can deal with it. Well, what happens is they don't. So we sit here and look at the situation. How can we correct these situations? It's to make a vow not to ourselves what we want to do and follow our heart. What do I feel is the right thing to do? So we look at the situation, we've got a person sitting there going, you know, I'm not really that good of a girl, so therefore I could date you for a period of time, but we'd have to do something. That's a person not being true to the relationship. They're letting their body take over and say, well, you know, well, you can only hold back for so long. No, you can hold back as much as you want. It's been proven many, many times, even with guys, okay? People sitting around with guys, you know, well, whatever. The point is, when you put yourself in positions of certain things and certain situations and certain positions, you still have a choice no matter what you do, every time. And people have a tendency, because I used to do a lot of counseling, and one thing I used to get a lot was certain women getting pregnant. Well, he got me pregnant. Well, you were there going, ooh, 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 too, okay? Now, when we go into a situation, of, you know, rapes and those kind of things, those are different categories. There's a different, they're just different categories. We're talking about you having consent and being with that person. I've seen this so many times. I've seen both sides of the story. And one thing I need to try to picture and tell people, I'm a psychic. I'm very intuitive. I see things just the way they are, right on the surface. So you can say what you want to say. I will see the truth every time. And that's what I strive to do, because in order to be good at what I do, to help people see it themselves, I can't sit there and not do that. And that's what I'm saying with the situation. We can look at this thing we're talking about right now, but you also have to look at the situation. What do you want? It's like the first thing I heard you say was, there's this guy who likes me at work. Now, you didn't say you liked. So I'm going to sit there and look at the situation and go, okay, what's really going on? And then now you're telling me he doesn't really physically attractive to you. You don't feel physically attracted to him. So you're looking at a relationship and saying, well, I didn't have that certain part yet. That's just a chemical reaction. The true sense of everything, the real relationship that you're really wanting, I can see it, I can feel it, I can hear it in your voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's also something you have to understand that you can actually really have. It seems like past relationships you've compromised because you were scared that you wouldn't get what you wanted. And the idea of not being with somebody as being alone. In some of those relationships, that was kind of a scary thing to do as well. So I'm saying the situation we got here, we got almost like two people. You could almost look at the situation as having two different types of fears, and this is slowing things down.
Yeah.
And what I was saying about the girls was the idea of girls getting pregnant, okay? You can't get pregnant by yourself. And not in the sense of you're mad at this guy because that's what happened. It's the idea of looking at the situation and go, okay, if we could sit there and not get mad, not get angry, take 100% accountability for our own lives and the decisions we made, then you'll understand why we should never get mad at anything or get angry at anything, and why I would be a person who would look at those angers and what kind of fears you're not willing to look at. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So I'm saying with the situation you're looking at, it has nothing to do with what he does or doesn't do or whatever. It's what you really want to do. Now, it's like looking at girls out there and saying, I'm tired of hearing this old-fashioned bullshit. I want to be old-fashioned, and I want the man to chase after me. Well, once you go look at history, you'll find one thing throughout history. Women chased after men. Why? Because they had everything. Now, things have changed. So now, for the first time in human history, you can actually get married and get in a relationship for one reason, because you love that person. But we come up with so many, almost like we got rid of all those other things from the past that we don't need anymore, like security and loneliness and all this other stuff, to realize we're still hanging on to a lot of those things anyway, when we don't have to. All we got to do is look at that person and say, I love you. I love you too. And then just go forward. People go, that's just too easy. Yeah, why is it so hard to have things so easy? That's what it happened. And relationships are supposed to, I feel like very strongly with the situation of relationships that are meant to happen, they happen very quickly. And those are the ones people are running away from. So when we have a situation right here, we have two people and wandering. There's a lot of wandering here. It's the ideal, almost like we're trying to question the whole situation and try to figure out what we should do. What shall we do? What can we do to make this go a little faster? Isn't that kind of funny that when we get into great relationships, we're trying to find ways to slow it down?
Right.
When are we ever going to start thinking, how can we balance this out? Follow your heart. Really, follow your heart. Sit there, connect with yourself. Just bow your head and focus on the heart area and just say to yourself, I love, I love, I love. If you feel it, then you're there. If you don't feel it, keep saying it till you do, because that's just a way of reconnecting yourself to yourself to realize you cannot love anybody out there in this freaking world until you're willing to love yourself just as much, even more. Mm-hmm. And you look at the situation, there's like certain things here that are just driving you crazy. And I think it's because they're reflections back to you of your own self. So there's procrastination here on both parts. When someone just needs to walk up and say, hey, I'm going to this, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going after coffee. You want to go? Simple. Instead of playing all this, what would society think? Who gives a hoot? If you're going to include the society in your freaking relationship, that's going to be a pretty confusing relationship. So therefore, the one thing we need to do is we need to take that relationship and we need to bring it back to number two. Two people. That's it. Everybody else excluded. Don't need it. I guarantee you, if you follow your heart, you don't need to get your friend's advice because you know.
Yeah.
The guy across the street, across that table, you don't know how he feels. I guarantee if you follow your heart, you'll know exactly how he feels. You'll know exactly what he's doing. I've talked to too many women doing this job for so long that women know when a guy fools around on them. Why not know it before it even happens? Why wait till the point of already happening fooling around? Okay, and that's what I'm saying. I get in trouble a lot, especially with the girl I was dating. I'm sitting there saying, hey, this is it. This is what it is. I cannot be less than what I am. So there, I'm expressing it to you and say, I love you. Even to the point of saying, this is how I feel. The point of saying, I love you with all my heart, with all my head, okay, with all my soul, my mind, my strength. But see, I have to have the same kind of love for myself before it can ever be anything. Because I'm the most important component of that relationship. People think it's a little self-centered. It's not. You have to be strong within yourself to have a strong relationship because what? You're going to attract the same kind of person to you. That's what it is. That's what's scaring people out there. Ooh, this guy reflects me. I mean, it's like a mirror. Well, wasn't it what you were looking for? Someone just like you? Because you said, I can deal with myself. If I could just find somebody like me, then I have a great relationship. And then you get those, and they go, ooh, this relationship's moving too fast. Why? Because you just realize at that moment you might get exactly what you want. So when we sit here and say, what's what you asked for because you want to get it, that's not saying that's a bad thing. It's saying that you need to prepare yourself for it. So in the situation, this relationship, you're probably saying, okay, what's it got to do with me and this guy? I guarantee if you sit and listen for a minute, you'll understand why. Because you want something real.
Yeah, I do.
And you're wondering if this guy can give you something real. Well, I'm telling you right now, it's on both sides here. That's why you guys haven't come together as fast as you think you should. But I also want you to respect that person on the other side. If he doesn't do things the way you would do them, he doesn't react, he doesn't say things or that kind of, he never will. I hate when I go to court and people say, have you ever heard these divorce cases? We're divorcing because we're two different people.
So
I'm sitting there going, yeah, you're a man and he's a woman. And everybody goes, what? I said, well, think about it for a minute. Doesn't that sound crazy? But if you turn it around, he's a man and you're a woman, you're still different. And you always will. It's the energy. It's the essence of who you are. That's what you want. The thing that comes to me the most, sweetie, is this guy you're talking about, he's not the one. I mean,
you said he's not?
That's a long way to go around to get to that point. But it's like, but if you sit there and focus on what we're saying about following your heart and being true to yourself, you'll understand why he's not. Because You want a strong man in your life because you're a strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
Do you or do you not?
Yeah, I do.
He's not. Not at this time. Okay?
Wait. Okay, so this is the first guy. This is not the guy at my job.
See, this is what I'm saying to you right now. I'll say it to you. I'll put everybody else listens to. And the perception that you have right now, what you want, it's not around you. Because if it was, you'd be with him.
Okay.
Just to clear it up for everybody going, okay, well, this guy. I don't want to go down the list of guys and say, okay, all these guys that are in your life at this moment are brought into, they were brought into your life because of your perception. And then you change that perception and say, you just said it right there. Just this minute, you said, I am a strong person. I want a strong guy. All of a sudden, guess what? All those other guys, just because you changed the whole perception of the thing, does it mean they were bad people? No, it just means you changed your life and say, okay, you're right. I want to go get what I want. I'm not going to settle for anybody else anymore. You shouldn't. When you go to the freaking clothing store, do you settle?
No, I don't.
That's why I use that analogy. Because I know she went to the grocery store. And she goes to the grocery store. She goes to get dresses or whatever it is. She doesn't compromise. She gets what she wants because you have that much respect for yourself. Okay, but when it comes to relationships, you settle. You see the problem?
Yeah, I do.
So there you are. You're the best dress you can buy. You can buy, but you're going to settle for a guy who's just half your list. I just want everybody out there to think about the whole thing. If everybody got exactly who they wanted, and to be with the person they were supposed to be with, well, for one thing, we'd have a lot of judges and lawyers and stuff out of jobs. And to tell you the truth, I'd love to see that day. Really, I would. So, go look at the courts. Seriously. I've gone to court, and I was like, I couldn't believe the percentage of people who are going in there for divorces compared to people who are robbing people. So you don't hear those percentages anymore. You just hear 60% divorce rate. But look at the point. A lot of those things exclude any kind of criminal defense, anything that has to do with that. Criminal offense. Sorry. So why do a criminal offense with yourself and give yourself something that's not going to, that you wouldn't do in a normal sense of life, going picking out a dress, you know?
Yeah.
You said there was no, I'm just saying, when you meet the right person, okay, people, so I guess it's one of those things I was just so angry about the situation I was just in because I saw it for what it was, and I just wish the other person would. I wouldn't say I give up. One of the things is just saying to yourself, I need to let go and move forward, not move on. Move on is almost like a term you want to tell somebody who's been sitting around forever. And some people just haven't been doing that. They just have a tendency to sit back and think for a minute. And that's what I'm saying. That's a good thing. That's what I'm saying with the situation here. But you see a lot of things that you keep yourself out of causing more chaos in your life, of realizing and listening to your heart. And when you listen to your heart, your guidance kicks in big time. You can hear everything that's happened to you. Which way should I go? What should I do? And if we did this, besides getting ourselves in a real bad situation, like, well, I'm homeless. Okay, so what should I do? If we could do it before we get to those points, then we could change the whole thing. That's just accountability. Saying, okay, I'm going to take 100% responsibility for my life and realize that I need to start listening to myself. And if I'm listening to anybody outside, I'm not looking inward. I'm not being true to me because I'm trying to be true to everybody else. To ask yourself in that situation of being honest, that kind of question, who are you really trying to please in the process of getting a relationship? Does it seem like you don't let anything else stand in the way of anything else in your life?
Yeah.
Smile, sweetie.
Sorry.
Not that bad. We're just saying, honest question. Because like I said before, I'm saying that people have a tendency to look at me and say, you need to let go of this. You know, this is not a good thing, that kind of thing. Okay, great. But in the same process, I also have to listen to myself and my guidance and everything I hear, too, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with friends and family. As long as they are respectful of you, where they will sit there when you say, I need to do what I need to do. And they don't say a word. They have that mutual understanding to understand that you have to be true to yourself. If they don't, then all they're thinking about is what they want. And that's the truth. So we look at the situation and say, okay, what would happen? What if you did walk up to this guy and say, this is what we're going to do this weekend? I'm sorry, but realistically, I think the girl I would date when we sit and start talking on Skype, it was kind of funny about talking on Skype, was the idea of the whole situation. We started talking, we started texting each other on Yahoo, and she says, go talk on Skype. Okay. See, this is a person who at that time didn't share anything. And that's what you want. You want someone to say, hey, as you're talking and communicating with that person, when you suggest on doing things, it's just that person telling you what they think they should do, but you're still communicating with each other.
Right.
You know, we're typing. Well, I've heard so many people talk about, we're in the emailing phase. I said, okay, guys, first of all, don't sit here and tell a relationship counselor that kind of bullshit, because there is no such thing as the email phase. There really isn't no such thing as any phases in relationships anyway. They're just a way of trying to understand why things do and why things happen what they do. But you don't consciously yourself, I don't care what therapists can say what they want. Anybody out there can say what they want to you. But when you're sitting there consciously thinking about these certain levels that you need to go through at certain times, you've killed the whole relationship and the spontaneousness of it. That's what relationships are. They proceed and they unfold just like a rose at their own time. And it's a beautiful journey to get to a full rose. It's just not, boom, you're rose. You see what I'm saying? The same with relationships, too, as well. So you have a tendency, you should look at those. But how they start, the good ones always start with somebody saying something. And then the other person seeing that person said this, and this person said that. See, you're communicating with each other. You're not back in the corner thinking what you should do. So you're thinking too much in your head. You said, you go, okay, what will my heart tell me to do right this moment? Your heart will probably say, look at the situation. Is this person truly what he presents to himself in public? Is he real? Follow your heart. What's it say? All of a sudden, your solar plex kicks in and go, mm-mm. You saved yourself probably 3 months. You see what I'm saying? When you follow your heart, people think, oh, follow my heart. That's just craziness, just crazy talk, or it will lead me down the wrong path of what I don't want to do. And I said, well, once you stop being selfish and the guidance comes to you for a reason, to lead you to a place in your life that you want to get away from something that you don't like, you want to change it. You want to change your life. You want to change your path. You want to live the life you know you should be living. Because you just looked around at yourself at that moment, and you're not. So if you sit there and, for example, you got with somebody, and your life changed to where it was actually you were getting what you wanted, and all of a sudden you took a step backwards, now those people that wasn't supportive in any kind of relationship you were in, now you're with them. You just took a step backwards.
Yeah.
Because you're listening to them. They're saying, well, you know, he could be this, and that, and you feed into the... Let's put it really strong out there. If you have a friend that walks up to you and go, he could be a serial killer. Yes, you're right. I kill Lucky Charms all the time. You know, that'd be a funny thing to say, but it's true. I'm tired of hearing that one. And you hear this one all the time. And I was sitting there talking to the girl I was with. All of her friends were coming up to her and saying all kinds of things. And then she sat there and told me, she goes, how come all your friends are saying positive things about a relationship, but my friends are not? And I, you know, it's kind of hard to look at somebody and say, honestly, you know, like, you know, you're looking at this girl that you love dearly, and you just want to look at her and say, well, the reason your friends are like that is because they're fears, and they're hitting on some fears of your own. But at this moment, we're still together, so you're not letting those affect you. But they're still making those accusations because of things they've gone through, the fear of life, or maybe the fear of the world. Okay? And at that moment, as she's staying in the relationship, she's staying in the relationship. That's where she wants to be at. She realizes how she feels. She likes it. She wants to spend all her time there. Wants to spend almost like 24 hours a day. Why? Because she don't want to be around those negative people and situations and stuff. She made a choice. She is in a very good, happy place where she's at, okay? And then all of a sudden something happens and she goes back to them. Now, wouldn't you think to yourself and say, okay, you're extremely happy. And you're saying, this person here was a bad person. This one person was a bad person. But in the beginning, you were staying there when those people were still saying the same thing. So the only conclusion you come up with is a person probably gave in. Because they were scared of letting go of their past. They were scared of letting go of the old in favor of the new. So sometimes when you see situations like that unfold, you have to look at it for what it is. And as long as you're following your heart, you follow your heart, no matter what that situation is. Because more likely what that person is going to start doing is denouncing you and trying to make you out to look like that bad person that their friends are saying, which means they're still listening to their friends. And people go, how do you know that? It's called 20 years experience. But it's also the ideal of listening. But also when I said earlier, if I sit here and say I love somebody, I love somebody. So I try to understand it. Because it's not like me sitting there judging her. It's just seeing facts. There is a difference between judgmental and the fact. And we have to look at the facts. Now, what can we do about it? At the moment, nothing. But still, we have to be true to ourselves and say, I love that person because I can love everybody the same way. And we had a conversation, too, where she goes, you know, is the idea of treating somebody special. And I said, if you've got a guy who comes to you, and this is a proven fact, okay, woman, you listen. If you got a guy that comes to you and says, I'm treating you special, but you notice he has a tendency to treat everybody like rude, like you go to a store or something, he's rude to the attendant, there's people around him he's just mean to, but he treats you special, I would run like hell. I'll tell you why. Because he's being nice to you for a reason, to get what he can get. Because if he was really a caring, loving person, then he would be caring and loving to everybody. Because I was starting to talking to my girlfriend like that, and I said, that's the truth. But she's saying, well, do you treat me any different than anybody else? I will sit here and say this. I give you more attention. I give you more time. And I do love you as a girlfriend, so therefore, yes, I'm going to give you more time. But am I different? I said, you go ask anybody. Everybody loves me. It's not being self-centered. It's just the idea of, you know, that's what I put out there. So therefore, it reflects. That's what I'm trying to get her to see. My life reflects what I do. That person you're talking about is treating that woman special. His life does not reflect that. And you need to look at that. That's a big red flag. That's like hitting you over the head with it. Oh, okay. You know, yeah. So you got to look at those things, what they are. And that's what it's like, truth. What is the truth? And I tell people all the time, if you follow your heart, you will see people for who they are. And a lot of times the things we're talking about, the confusion or the conflict is, when they say they followed their heart and got in trouble, it's the ideal they did. But they're not telling you the whole story, that the truth they saw was with the person and the people they ran back with. And they also saw the truth there, too. But they made a choice, which one they were going to hang with. The guy, the one dude, or all these people that are putting all this pressure on you. A lot of us have a tendency to fall into that pressure. The strength is that you stand up and you face those fears, so therefore nobody can ever affect you in a negative way again. Can it happen? Yes, it can. It can happen every day if you want it to. It's just that you make it a conscious decision to yourself. I won't be happy. The only way you're ever going to be happy is be true to yourself, which means you automatically follow your heart because you love yourself. And that's what I was saying before. So I want to sit here and say, when you do what you do, you'll get a good result. But also the situation is people have a tendency to respond very quickly.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, I'm serious. For example, when I met her through a psychic company I was working for. And I didn't really give her a lot of information. I couldn't. I wasn't allowed to. But I talked to her and I said, if you take my name on a random, because I work for this company, I should do some little pumping here. But I work for the company called Orandum, which is ORANUM.com. On there you can see me. And I met her on there. And it was interesting because I sit there and told her on there, they call me Psychic X Journey because Journey May wouldn't fit on their browser, and I was like really ticked. But I said, you know, Psychic X Journey, and I go on there, and she's like, I really like to talk to you, but not in here. I went, you know. I said, okay, fine. I said, take Psychic X Journey. And I said, where I'm at, they call me Psychic X Journey Man. You put the two together, go to Block Talk Radio, and you should be able to find me. She did.
Mm-hmm.
I had an email from her in about 20 minutes. So you see how things happen very quickly? And that's the key.
Yeah.
That's when you know things are going to go somewhere. Even when they don't last for a long time, doesn't mean they won't. We have to have faith in what we know and what we feel. And once you have that certain feeling in your heart, I think we should also realize it's probably a mutual feeling. I don't think you can actually really feel that kind of energy or that kind of a powerful love within you if it's not in the other person too. And we're all talking about twin flames. When twin flames fall into place and you get that whole thing going on, and it goes down very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we try to stress to everybody. A good relationship, a great relationship will go very quickly. That's because there's no obstacles and there's no thinking, no decision making or nothing, because people are being spontaneous. So things fall in place very quickly. It's like, you know, you're basically talking to the computer, and all of a sudden the person goes, hey, let's talk on Skype. Okay, boom. You see, it went faster because most people in that situation, you always have trouble. Well, I don't think I want to do that. I think we should take it a little bit slower. And see, people are not thinking. They're in love, so they go. They go for it and do what they got to do. That's the key. It's always when they get that one point. And I'm not saying everybody does it. And people do go through periods of time when they get separated, when they go through a growing period, and when they come back, it's more intense than it was before. But if you don't keep your heart open and your mind open and let yourself go in the process of that happening, they think those things don't happen. And there's people who stay together forever because they have a tendency to go, the love is more important than any outside force, any kind of fear, nothing, friends, family, anything. And those people have a tendency to, you know, get criticized sometimes. But I think it's because people outside of them are jealous because they don't have it right at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So they're scared of losing a lot of stuff. So with the situation we're talking about here with you, like, keep moving forward. I just don't feel like the situation we're talking about is at work or anything around there. I think it's one of those things that you're going to be working on a little bit more with yourself, and I think that's what you got to do. And then next thing you know, you're going to be in a relationship. That's what I get. You know,
okay.
It's like picking up a spiritual book at a bookstore at Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
So something in there for you at Barnes & Noble. And then meeting somebody, and then looking back 3 months later, like, wow, I've been in a relationship that long. Something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's a good visual, I think. I think I give enough in depth on the whole thing where she doesn't have to ask about what color hair he is, because realistically, when I heard you say about the physical part, that was the one thing that concerned me the most because when you really are in love with somebody, you do want to sit there and express yourself in a physical way. It's because of the way you feel inside.
Yeah.
Spirit. It's the spirit moving, wanting to be one. That's nice. I think I should write that down. what I'm saying to you, if I sit there and told you that it probably won't happen for 6 months, I guarantee you that if you sit down and work with yourself, go within, and let yourself be led where you got to go, it might not take 6 months. But I guarantee if you do, you'll see why it took 6 months. Because when you get to that one point, you'll have exactly what you want. You'll have somebody who's going to be there, who's got your back. Okay?
Okay.
I hope you were taking notes, because I ain't repeating none of that. But,
no, I got it.
Okay.
I got it. I definitely got it.
Yeah, sometimes I want to say I'm sorry, but then again, I said, you know, spirit moves you, you move, okay?
Yeah.
Learn to do it yourself. Because we're all sitting here glowing like freaking ear to ear going, this is good stuff. And we just want to make sure everybody can find those things. I mean, think about that. The woman I was with made me realize a lot of things. When I sit here and say it's changing my life, it's the ideal of loving unconditionally to see somebody for who they are and actually seeing that person and even loving them even more to the point where you just want to give that to everybody and the opportunity to actually have the same thing. It's a love for her. It's also a love for the world, so they can have the same thing and help them obtain the right kind of information so they can have that kind of relationship, those kind of experiences. They were fantastic. They were great. It's just one of those things to share with everybody so you can too. If it takes you 6 months, don't freak out and go, what? You know, for a fact, in some situations, unless you're in jail, 6 months can go pretty fast. But that's what I'm saying. So I want you to go out there and the one thing I stress the most is the idea of going within, being true to yourself. Exactly what do you want? What you want is someone to love you unconditionally as well. Just make sure you can do it.
Yeah.
All righty?
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Like I said, if you got any questions or you want to get a private reading, please do so. I don't care if you got $5, man, call me. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you for calling in tonight. And please, if you don't do that reading, which I feel like you should, and you will, still give us a call back and give us an update on your life and see how things are going, okay?
what's the number for a private one?
Okay, if you want to call me on a private one, it's 740.
Wait, let me get a pen, pencil.
Don't you hate when those suckers don't work and you, last night you had 10 pens laying all over the place, now you can't find one.
It's 740.
740-500-8863. And in some of the situations, if you have trouble getting through the line, just contact me through my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. And actually, you can go, if you go to my show page, you can get all the information. Yeah, tell everybody, still get a hold of me, because you can actually call me through Skype, too. The number there is
740-601-9835.
9835, okay?
Okay.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a great day and a great night and a great evening, wherever you're at.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now. Alrighty. Let's go on to area code 267. Welcome to the show. How are you and what's your name? Hello, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hello. Hello. Well, let's go into somebody else, and then we can wake them up later. Okay, let's go to area code 917. Welcome to the show. You're on the air. What's your name? And there's nobody there. Hello? 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 Okay. 917, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. How are you? Okay. All right. Zesty Girl? Welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name?
That would be me, right? Zeta Girl?
Yeah, Zesta. I say Zesty, but, you know, I'm sorry.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
Zesty Girl, where are you calling from?
Denver, Colorado.
Denver, Colorado.
Mm-hmm. It's great here today.
It's what?
It's great here today.
So have you ever been to Manitou Springs?
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you go up to Manitou Avenue, right across from the T-shirt shop on the right, you'll see a little building. It's like brown with two cone roofs. If you ever remember seeing that, that was where my first shop was. And then my second shop was actually right next to the T-shirt shop where the blue door is. That was my second shop. It was like a little 5x8 place.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
and
that's a really nice town.
Yes. And all that tile on the front of that one building, they've got the, there's actually the original sign on top of that place. If you ever notice there's a sign in front of it, that's because it's actually classified as historical. So
okay.
They won't take it down.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually, and plus you got to watch Manitou Springs when you buy property up there too, because a lot of it's historically, it's actually protected. I was going to buy this one house. It's an old Victorian built back in 1894. The sidewalk going up to the building, up to the house itself. It's historically protected, so you can't do anything to it. You can do around it, but you can't do anything to it. I mean, I think you can keep it up. I'm just saying, I was like, gosh, you know, I could buy that place anyway. Ruskin Avenue up by the Cobb Railroad.
Yeah, it's beautiful down there. It's really nice.
Have you ever gone on top of Pikes Peak, gone to Cobb Railroad?
Haven't gone up to Pikes Peak. I've hiked some other mountains, but not Pikes Peak, no.
Yeah, if you take that mountain, because you go to the Cobb Railroad and take the train up there, there's actually about halfway up, there's a tree. It's a very small tree. I mean, I don't think it's even 6 feet tall. It's very skinny. It looks like some kind of cedar. 2,000 years old.
Wow.
And it's a straight-up shot. So the Cobb Road... It's like looking at people go, okay, the Cobb Railroad is basically a railroad back in the day when it was first started going up the side of the mountain was like a regular train. But the grade is so freaking high, they have a cog gear in the middle of the train itself that catches the track a certain way to climb that mountain. And we actually went to the top of it. America the Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The lady who wrote that song was actually sitting on the top of Pikes Peak when she wrote it.
Oh, I believe it. I can see Pikes Peak from my bedroom window.
Oh yeah.
It's really cool.
I think it's cool.
Yeah,
it's cool up there. Yeah, I lived in Manitou Springs for almost 3 years.
Yeah, it's such a cute town. I love it.
Mhm. So let's get to you. So what can we do for you tonight?
Well, I was listening to your show and I wasn't going to call in, but then a lot of what you said really resonated with me, like, again, about relationships, but the fact that, or what you were saying about people meeting and that you have, like, a really close relationship. So my past was I had a really good, fun, and happy relationship with a guy, and he kind of, I think he got scared or took off kind of. And so I let him go because I'm all about that. That's how I was raised. Like, you know, if someone wants to go, you just let them go.
Right.
But I still feel like there's just such a strong connection. And he did contact me again, wanting to get back together because we had this strong connection. But I didn't really think he was ready. So I kind of said no. But do you see that, like, ever going anywhere, or?
Yes. The thing I got the most here is in the process of you thinking he's not ready yet is the idea he's not with you yet. Because, no, you know, I had a friend of mine who used to play. He was one of the best guitarists in the freaking world. But he was also trying to find a band as good as he was. And I said, do you ever think that maybe the reason you go to these practices and stuff of these bands that are just not really there, but you keep seeing all this potential with them and that kind of stuff because of your experience, that you can make a difference in those bands, and maybe those bands could be as good as you think they are, but you're the missing component. And he's like, I've been chasing after so many things and so many things, I never dropped it down to realize that I am a component too as well. So it makes a difference because it's like, look at the situation of what you had. It happened because of two of you, not just the one. I mean, you have to be healthy within yourself. Don't get me wrong. Follow your heart and love unconditionally as well. But the two of you together is what created that relationship.
Right.
You were great. It's like, look at the situation. If you took you both apart, let's say if it would have took you guys at the time instead of you guys getting together and still being two great people, that's what you would have been. You would have still been two great people.
Right.
And then when you bring it together, you created something because of the two of you, because of who you were at the time, what created the relationship. Like the one I was in, like looking at the situation, if a person was sitting here and go, well, I was thinking about being with somebody who was a little bit younger, or I was being a little bit, you know, certain little variations. There wasn't many. But then when you sort of look at the situation and step back and then look at what really is going on, does it really make a difference to sit here and look at someone and say, you might be too old. Why am I too old? They can't give you an answer. It's just that that's what the society would say. Well, if you're going to go listen to the society, then you're going to wind up like everybody else do, and you're going to be a part of that 60% of divorce rate, aren't you? So why don't you do me a favor and stop listening to them and start listening to your heart and say, okay, what do I feel here? Am I judging it because of what happened between us, or am I judging it because of what's happening at this moment? Because if you're still discussing about getting back together, you're not together. So you really can't see it and say, okay, is this a good relationship when you're not in one?
Right.
So you sort of look at the situation, so cool, could it be something? Well, asking the question, you know it could be. You're just trying to figure out what the missing component is. Well, it's you. You made a big difference in his life. That's what scared him.
Yeah, I think it's like a total scared thing. But, you know, yeah, I mean, he contacted me a little while after and said, grass isn't greener, you know, it's like you're a really nice person, blah, 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 but it never did still go anywhere because maybe he just wasn't up for that nice, really good person. I don't know.
Mhm. I'm just saying, with the situation of crossing paths again, you know, it's like, you're right. You have to sit and look at it for what it is. But I'm just saying, when you sit and think of it as in, what am I judging it by? Is it was because of what happened between us and it might happen again? I mean, if you say that thought to yourself, what will happen if it happens again like it did before? Then you're basically judging it because of where you came from. You're not judging it because of the past being crossed. So just give that a thought, because I feel like very strongly while I was sitting there talking to you that, you know, if the situation, like the opportunity itself, needs to be taken advantage of. You need to definitely think about taking and going down that path. I mean, for example, the person I was telling you about, I sat her and told her that, and some people said, you get too intense. I said, no, I'm just being myself. That's the difference. You know, you're saying being too intense. How can she handle it? I think, personally, when it comes to situations, we need to express ourselves to help people understand the intensity is hitting you right now. So, therefore, if it's happening at this moment, you are ready for it. Are you just being a person who wants to run away from everything?
Exactly.
Because when things are happening, yeah, seriously, because when things are happening in the moment, ask yourself, why is it happening? Because if it wasn't meant to happen, why is it happening? It's happening right now. And I sit there and told her flat out, I love you. And this is how I love you. I said, I was thinking about this. I said, I just need to express it. And I said, I love you with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength. That, what I thought was so funny about it, in the conversation we had, she never acknowledged that. So I felt like the reason she didn't, because she read it. I'm not going to sit there and acknowledge that. Why would I not? Why wouldn't she? If it's true. Because it is true. And she's not ready to deal with it. So she's not going to sit there and say that thing and look at it and acknowledge it. Because once she does, then she has to realize, then she has to acknowledge her own feelings. Which if you have a person who's running away from you and being very angry to you anyway, they're not ready to, they're not dealing with it. But I'm not going to say if they're ready for it or not. I feel like they are. But the anger is to push you away. So they will have to.
Right.
Okay. And then I come back and said, I said, I'm sorry if I follow my heart, but when I follow my heart, when you follow the heart, it spiritually eliminates the mind. So therefore, the term we've all heard, you know, follow the heart, the mind will follow, or the head will follow. That's what it means. It means when you see the truth, the mind sees the truth too. Therefore, it knows where and when, where to go and when to proceed. Which is when it's happening, is right then and there. It also says that when you get into the stream of love, it anchors your thought processes, which means it anchors so there's no confusion. So that's what I'm saying. When I start to look at these things and say, this is what I see, that's because I'm going through that. So I'm anchored, I see it, I feel it. I can't sit here and say it's not the truth because I feel it so intensely. So she came back and she goes, I don't like it when you say things like that. She was very angry about it. I don't like it when you do those kind of things. And I'm like, what did I do? She goes, when you said the thing about follow your heart and that kind of stuff, and then she said, I'm glad I didn't do that. So to sit there and tell someone, go, okay, what was your conclusion? Listen to your heart. What's it say to you? That person just basically confessed to you, oh, I love you deeply, and I think about us, but I didn't go down that path, thank goodness. She's still
right.
In her head.
That's exactly what happened with me, too. It's the same thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like, oh, so, I love you. I'll love you forever. But I, like, then I have to think they're so afraid of that they have to run away.
Yeah. So you sit there and look at the situation where you just feel like you could say something like, okay, this is what you wanted. You were sitting here telling when we were in the relationship this is that you were going to extremes to prove it. You even ran a $1,000 phone bill up. And then it was kind of funny, too, because she sat there and said, I ran the phone bill up. So see what happens when you follow your heart and get you in trouble. I said, no, don't. That's your perception. You know for a fact that you're deeply in love with somebody. Now you're looking for ways to get out of it. So you're saying, I followed my heart. I fell deeply in love, and it made me run up a phone bill. No, what it did was it put you in a position where you wasn't going to let anything get in the way of being with that person or communicating with that person. So therefore, you did things that you normally wouldn't do with everybody else, but this is not everybody else. This is the one.
Right.
So you knew that. So you made the choice. And I asked her, I said, was it worth it? And she goes, no. I said, no, I want you to tell me what I want to hear. Someone's like, you know, I said, no. I said, what was you feeling at the time? And she's like, well, at the time, I was feeling that I really wanted to talk to you, and she goes, I love you, and I really care about you, and I wanted to talk to you. I said, then, therefore, by saying what you just said, it was worth it, wasn't it? And she's like, well, so you're like, it wasn't tricking someone to say something, it was just a realization they didn't want to hear or feel, which made them, that one excuse they came up with was they could no longer use it as an excuse because the other person communicated and told them they were just full of it. And this is the reason I feel this way, in a caring way to say, don't do that. Look at this freaking thing. It's a phone bill. Pay it, or I'll help you pay it. Whatever it is, you know, it's like, well, find a solution. That's the key. You don't throw people away. You look at the situation and go, I made a mistake. No, you didn't make a mistake. You did exactly what you wanted to do at that point. Because if you didn't, you would have done something totally different. But you didn't. That's the truth. See, we're seeing the truth here and say, okay, what else? You know, you look at these situations and just sit down and talk to somebody and say, okay, I see that you, that's what I'm saying about falling apart too. That when you're in the relationship itself and you sense these things, then take the next step and say, oh, in a nice way, not being judgmental, just look up and say, it seems like to me like you're having some problems or some fears. Just sit down and talk about it. What are you scared of? Because she used to sit and tell me, she said, I'm scared. And I said, well, I understand too. I'm scared too, but I'm not going to run away from it. I'm going to walk into it.
Right.
I feel like very strongly about this whole thing. This is what I want. You're what I want. And I said, I see you. When you can really see a person for who they are, and you know, most people say, you still love them? Yeah, that's the point. You know, you start realizing that point, because it's like even when they're going through the stuff they're going through now, you still see them in the way you've always seen them. You love and care about them, so you try to understand why they're doing it. You don't sit there and condemn them or judge them. You just know. And then sometimes you get into situations where you try to be a little bit pushy because you feel it and see it. That you feel like there's some kind of magical word, some kind of phrase, or some kind of moment that you can help them realize what they're walking away from. It's probably one of the best loves they'll ever have in their life. And the reason you say that, because you have that feeling for yourself. So you know to be together, it will be a very intense, loving, caring, nurturing relationship, because it's who you are. And you saw it in her and with the situation with him. You see these things within him. See, the confusion part is, and the reason they run away, is their own realization. They saw it too.
That's what I think. I think they're just like, they're totally afraid of it. They're like, whoa, this is like really what I want. I'm afraid. And, you know, because, I totally thought like you've got everything here. So why would you leave it? Yeah.
And then the realization was, people go, okay, what happened? What'd they get confused for? Because they started listening to their friends. Or they started listening to the world. They started listening outside. We'll put it that way. When they started listening outside, it started conflicting with what they saw when everybody else is trying to tell them what reality is. The world will do that. You go to the bank, and I've seen this with a lady who was buying a house. They told her that she hadn't paid on her mortgage, and they were doing all kinds of things, trying to get her to see their picture. And I told her flat out, if you stick to the guns and stick to your vision, then everything will be eradicated. You will get what you want, and they will get what they deserve because they're trying to rip you off. But they're trying to pull you into a picture in order to do that. That's how it happened. So when you look at situations like that, the world is saying to her, these people, this is a mortgage company. You can't do nothing with this. You know, you just want to. I'm sitting here going, first of all, anything's possible. Anything you focus on, you can't have. In a situation like this, I said, definitely. If you focus on the picture that you see, that's what will play out. Because we see people like this go down every day. And she's like, well, there's a lot of things. She goes, she had all the proof that she needed. And I said, well, then why are you still doubting it? Because the world says she's going to get ripped off. And I say, this is why we live in the world, but we shouldn't be of the world, because they're going to try to lead us down a path that makes them feel the most comfortable. But and usually it's the norm, or we call it mass consciousness, okay? And if you look at relationships, that's exactly what happens too. So we start thinking about the whole thing and start relationships, careers, jobs, houses, all these other things. If you do the same thing I told you before, where you just follow your heart on every one of those issues, of what your passions is, what you know you need to do, you will always see the truth. And you eventually, what will happen was you will attract everybody to you to see the same thing too. Now, if you have a person that pulls away from you, what they've done is they're trying to find, I don't care what they say, it's all manifestation, okay? That what they pull back and they start denouncing you, that means they have to justify their own action. And I think the biggest fear with them a lot of times too is the realization, if your friends and the world is wrong, then you have to look at yourself and realize the mistake you made. And that's a hard thing to do for some people.
Right.
But they should also look at the situation, too, of putting out the rule and say, there's two people here in the process of loving you unconditionally. It's like, whenever you're ready to come back, no judgment, not even forgiving you, it's the idea of understanding you. And that's a difference. And that's actually, to me, that's a truest sign of somebody actually truly loving you. And anything else you can have in this world is sit there and look at somebody and say, I guess you had to leave for a little bit, but in the process, it doesn't matter. Let's just take it this moment, since we are back together, we are together, and things are going so great, let's just move forward. Let's get past that past, so therefore it will never happen again.
Well, maybe that's where, like, maybe that's where I messed up, because he wanted to get back, and I just said, well, that's fine, but we have to put all the cards out on the table. I just don't want to ignore what happened in between. And then he gets scared again.
Well, you know, the situation, I realize when you come back, when the situation does happen, and we can say come back, but I don't want to say come back. I want to say come together. But it's basically trying to walk into that relationship like you did the first time. And people think that might be saying walking into a situation blindly. But see, the point was, the first time you guys got together, isn't it exactly what you did in the first place? You were trying to trust what you saw, felt, and that kind of thing?
Right.
So it's the idea of something here. You have to experience it before you can really see the full potential of what it can be. And standing on the outside, because the one thing I heard that I sit here and had explained very detail was people say, I'm in love. You know, they'll sit there and say, okay, I'm in love with you. Great, okay. Then you have the other one where people say, well, I'm not in love with you, but I do love you. And I said flat out right there, that's the biggest bullshit you ever want to hear in your life. And they go, why is that? Because honestly what they're saying to you is, they love you. But they're trying to control it. That's the first sign of someone who's scared. They're trying to control it. I'm not in love with you, I love you. And why do they do that? Because some dumbass friend said, you haven't met this person, or you don't know this person, and blah, blah, blah. I would sit there and question the friend who even said it if I even knew them. Because to sit there and try to make me, trying to scare me, I don't think it's right. I think they should do the facts, because I don't care what, like I said before the beginning of the show, the City of Angels says, in that movie, it says, some things are true no matter if you believe them or not. So what it's saying is some things are true no matter what you believe. They are true. And you have to bring your mind to, how can you bring your mind to the point of actually seeing the truth? Is to follow your heart. And you sort of look at the idea of the City of Angels and the love. That's what these movies are about. They're people following their heart and the idea of using the vehicle of an angel who does not have any restrictions, does in the physical sense, who were extremely following their hearts of knowing who they wanted to be with. And there was another phrase in that movie that was so powerful too, that when she did die, Nicolas Cage said flat out, just to have 5 seconds, just to smell her hair would have been good enough. So everything happened the way it was supposed to happen. And it's like one of those things I'm saying, until you get to the point of realizing that what you were experiencing at that moment, you just want to experience more of that. And that's the whole thing. It's not the idea, like I told her, I said, I'm telling you these things not because you have to do anything. It's just the way somebody.
Yeah.
It's the way I feel, and it's the whole thing about the situation, why you don't want to sit here and talk about it, or you say it gives you a migraine, or it gives you, you know, it doesn't make you feel good. It's because you're suppressing the feeling. That's a proof. I don't care what anybody says. People get migraines, and they're sitting there talking about it. They're in their heads too much. They're thinking, 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 thinking. And the person who refuses to go there, what's the fear? What's the fear of going there? If it's, you know, if someone sits there and tells you, my feelings for you are perfect, they're 100% gone. Okay? First of all, the person's angry at you, so there's still some emotions coming across. So there's their first contradiction, and then there's a couple, and then, you know, just from the contradictions of somebody saying something, you're going to ask yourself the question real strongly. This is very important to take notice of these things. When someone's being contradicting, then the opposite's true. So it's like when someone says, I don't want us, but they're angry.
Mm-hmm.
They say it in an angry way. It means they're pushing you away, which means they do want us, but they're not willing to take the step at that moment to do that. But you know for a fact you're thinking about it, because why would somebody go through all this or even to have a conversation? if it wasn't
yeah,
true.
Why would they? Yeah, exactly. Why would they say all those things? And
yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So you bring it out there and you say, okay, I feel like a lot of people are going, yeah. Why would they go to extremes? Because realistically, the truth is the human mind, when it's thinking too much, it's trying to protect itself from something it doesn't want to deal with. That's a proven, that's a scientific fact. Another thing is, too, what the situation is. This is a person who refuses to look at those feelings, but also proven fact is, if it doesn't exist, the human mind does not go there to try to convince you otherwise. That's the other reason why you know for a fact the person has those feelings, because they're trying to suppress them, they're trying to convince you otherwise. So therefore, people who want you to leave them alone, don't want to deal with the whole thing, that kind of stuff, you never see them again. You never hear from them again. But they have to bring themselves to the light, or even the ideal. Say the universe is creating opportunities where certain things are happening. You know?
Well, I think what they do is they go to relationships that show them, whoa, this is like a really bad relationship, you know, like after the fact, and they want to come back, but they're afraid. They don't know what to do. You know?
Well,
so.
The idea, too, is the idea of going and, you know, I think I was telling this friend of mine, I said, you look at the situation, too. If a person's gone back, if a person uses the excuse, here's another one, too, if you listen to this one. If a person says, there's someone in my life that's like family, he's a friend, but there's a fear that this person is not a part of their lives. There's something about that. What's the fear? It's almost like we can look at the situation and say, well, okay, the guy's a bad person, or he's a good one. You know, that, I think what the point is we're getting here is the idea, why would this certain person hang on to someone like that? And say to you, well, we know each other for 6 or 7 years. And the first thing that comes to my mind is, whoop-de-doo, first of all, whoop-de-freaking-do, if you've known a person that long that you have to still hang on to them, because I don't feel like you have to hang on to anybody that's not bringing joy to your life, and not bringing happiness. And just because he knows you, couldn't that be, I've seen this with guys too, and they know you, or a girl knows you, they have a tendency to manipulate you. And I think sometimes when people are taken back in those situations, because they have to see the ideal of how much freedom they had, and how much freedom they really had in a real relationship, to realize how much control has been taken over them by making the steps to go backwards. To realize the friends and family and that kind of stuff, all they're trying to do is put her in a certain box or something like that. And I've also had a friend of mine, my brother was like that too, when he was in relationships too as well, where it was like people were constantly trying to keep him in a box. Because if the people around you pretty much have made a decision that they're comfortable with their lives. And you have to take that into accountability. You have to take that into account with the whole thing, because they don't understand. Because I had a girlfriend like that where it was like, your friends are very comfortable with their lives. So they're going to tell you, they're going to give you advice because of where they're at in their lives. But if you're in a situation where you want to make a big change in your life and you feel like you should be more, then if you make the step and you get with the right person, right situation, right opportunities, take the right opportunities to go where you feel like you need to be at, those friends who choose to stay and are comfortable where they're at is where they're going to stay.
Right.
And I think a lot of those people and their friends, they feel like, and we've seen parents, parents and kids who are scared to go out and be successful because they don't want to go and feel mad that they never come. You know, so we have a tendency to do that. And my friends, and the situation that I guess I was in too, where it was like, you look at the situation, I feel like other people have gone through the same thing where the person is trying to justify that their friends are right, so therefore you're wrong. Or you're a bad person. You're a bad person because they said you were, so therefore I have to make it so. I've seen this with abusive women who have been abused. If you see their friends are very pushy. They're very controlling. So it's not just a controlling guy that was in their lives. It was also friends and family. And there's usually a hint of drugs and that kind of stuff too as well. Or some kind of you could probably find some kind of addiction somewhere along the line. It doesn't always have to be drugs. There's so many things to comfort people. But I'm just saying, when you get those kind of situations going on, you have to sit there and look at the situations for what they are and understand what's going on, but also definitely see them too. So therefore, if you get, like when you feel like if, for example, you feel like it's going to be one of those things when you do get back together. It's one of those things of understanding the way people are gravitated to those kind of, gravitated to us to get us, get themselves back on the right path is because of the strength that they're lacking, not realizing that it's an attraction to acquire the same kind of strength as well. So that's what I'm saying with your situation, that when he was coming to you, don't go backwards.
Yeah.
Look at it. Look at each other and go, this start this relationship like we started the first one. Just even forget the first one ever even happened because, you know, the idea of good and bad memories of any kind can keep you in the past, good or bad. You know, so what you need to do is you just sever the whole past completely and favor what's going on and sit there and ask yourself, okay, when you ask yourself, what am I going through right now? How do I feel about myself? If you come to the conclusion that you feel really good about yourself and you can actually say those things that I had said to her about how you love and you can love yourself the same way, then more likely if a person's coming back in your life, they're either on the same page or pretty close. And all it needs is a realization from where they were at the first time. So you sit and go, you have to be who you are. Just because a lot of people think they have to change all kinds of things, and just all kinds of things are going up. I mean, the one time I had that reading with that lady I was talking to, and she said, what can she do to herself to get a man? And I just felt like God came to me and said, ask her if she believes in me. And I asked her, I said, do you believe in God? And she said, yes, I do. I said, would you give up God for a man? And she said, no, I wouldn't. I said, then why would you give up yourself? And at that moment, she was like, I never thought about that way. I said, maybe the reason some people can't find the right person or the right person can't find them is because they altered themselves, thinking they had to change themselves to have that person he didn't recognize them when they got there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So we sit and tell people, when you sit there and go within yourself and know who you are and love yourself unconditionally, then you'll know who the one is.
Right. No, that's so true.
When you know yourself, you know who you're supposed to be with, and it's that easy. But like, when I sit and talk to a lot of people, I've talked to some people in Keen. I work for Keen, too. When you go on to some of these sites, it's not the idea of getting irritated, even though sometimes you do. It's the idea of so many people are always asking one question, either how they feel or how the other person feels, and you know from a fact right then that you try to give them the information to help them understand that when they start loving themselves, they know what the other person feels too, and how they feel, even to the point of what they're thinking.
Right.
And I think a lot of times when we are with, like you said before, I felt like the one I was with, she was the one. I think I get the impression that I also feel like on the other side of the whole thing, when she saw me, the same thing happened too. You know, so therefore, if you have that strong of a conviction and you just need to let go and let it play itself out. Because realistically, like I said before, we can analyze until doomsday. But the bottom line of the whole thing is, when you let go, it's like the rose. It will unfold at its own time. And if you look at a rose, it doesn't take that long for a rose to unfold. It's that kind of beauty. So, you know, I think it's one of those things when you just let things go and let things be and let God be God, these things don't take that long at all. It could be the idea that we've been so caught up in the whole thing that we've been analyzing this idea that we should sit back and go, hold on for a minute. I know for a fact what it was because I knew how I felt. I know what I felt from the other person at the time. That's the key, too. What did you feel when you were actually together? Don't think about when you guys were not together or the separation.
No, during together, it was always so great. I can honestly say that. It was like an excellent relationship. There wasn't like...
Right, right.
The fighting and all the bad stuff. It was a really good relationship. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. When you want the relationship, if what you want, because people say, I want to go back. I want to get back with this person. But think about it. What are they thinking at that moment? They're thinking about the moment when it ended. Well, that was the problem.
Yeah, that was the problem.
When it ended. Yeah. You don't want to go back when it ended because that's what you were kind of confused about at the moment and you were thinking about. And then you come to the conclusion like, oh, I know what's up. Okay, fine. That's great. You know what's up. Now go back to the point. That was fantastic. It was great. Like with my situation, I was sitting telling her, she lives in England, I live here, and I was sitting there going, it's kind of funny. I was trying to get my passport. I couldn't find a place to get my passport and the pictures and all kind of stuff. It wasn't until I got to London, Ohio, that everything fell into place. I said, how can you sit there and look at situations like the angels pointing out and having those kind of signs that everything fell together, fell into place at that point? And realizations of feelings and that kind of stuff, certain things just happened. So, you know, we sit here and look at this situation and go, okay, that's what happened. But it's like I can just see other people out there going, yeah, so what do? You just look at that one point. Not really focus on the visual. Look at the time, like when you got two people looking at each other and they hadn't talked in a couple of days, and also they just look at each other and realize right at that moment. They knew.
Yeah, but don't you think like you look at the positive, all the good points, and then they could look at all the negative points instead of, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
I don't even know, like in my circumstance, what the negative points were, but I feel like he was trying to find them, looking really hard to find them.
Yes.
So he could run away and justify it.
Mm-hmm. Well, more likely you had a relationship where at first he wasn't looking for those things. But see, you have to think about this. I told this one before where I said, you know, it says in the Bible, you should know sex before marriage. And basically you should keep yourself sacred and until you do meet the right person. Don't date everybody. Just wait for that one person. I said, most people look at it and say, well, that's kind of controlling. I want to go out and do this and this and this. I said, yeah, really? Think about your life, you dumbass. Think about all the things you would have to deal with. Think about all the baggage you would have to deal with when you finally found the right one. If you would have just done that one thing. And it's not impossible, too, because you think about the situation. The reason you have a hard time being faithful sometimes is because of the things that you had that keep pulling you back. That puts you in positions that you normally would have done if they didn't exist. If none of these emotions and all these situations, all these memories didn't exist, they wouldn't be between us and that significant one we just met. But the good news is they also gave us the ability to also cut that path loose so we can have that kind of ability to sit there and look at the person we're with at that moment and say, I know how I feel. That's what I got. I got to London, Ohio. I sat there and looked at the lady, and she looked at me, and she's like, I never expected to feel like that. And people look at the situation and go, okay, did she explain what she meant? I said, did she really need to? Because I knew what she did, because she saw it with me. Oh, people glowing and smiling at each other to the point where you can't dismiss it because no one's saying anything. It's a certain glow, certain energy. It's like when we've done this show a couple times. More than a couple of times, where we're sitting there walking on air because we just feel the energy. We feel like the whole thing's surrounded by angels. And at that moment, that's what I felt with that whole situation, too, where I just felt like, I mean, before that happened, I mean, yes, I was kind of having some doubt, but I knew how I felt. So I knew something was going to happen. And the idea of situations like that, I would ask the angels, what should I do? What's going to happen? You keep showing me signs of this, this, and this. And they said, just keep living your life and keep going forward. Keep working your job. Keep doing your things. What do you feel? I said, well, I feel like this is meant to be. Then, therefore, the opportunities and everything, the building blocks, will definitely fall into place. So, therefore, when they do, you have to be in the right place with yourself and say, okay, there it is, and see it very clearly. And there was a lot of things that happened in London itself, in Kentucky. I want to say Kentucky. London, Ohio, that all these connections were established.
Yeah, I totally believe that. So once you're, like, happy and doing what you want, then they, you know, people just come back or new people come in or whatever it is. Because you're happy. You're who you are. You're authentic.
Yeah. Or you start doing things like I would walk. I remember this because I had to go to McDonald's to see her on my webcam, on my laptop. And I would walk 15, 20 minutes one way. And I had to walk 15, 20 minutes back to where I was working and stuff. And I sit there, you know, people sitting there, that's kind of crazy. I never thought about it. All I thought about was getting down to McDonald's, plugging my freaking computer in, and talking to somebody. And that's all I thought about. Just wanted to zip down there and do the whole thing, and that's all I wanted to do. That's what I was focusing on. There wasn't anything to focus on, because we were talking about that before the other day. There is no such thing as duality. Because in the process of looking at the world and the universe and that kind of stuff, you can see duality. But when you're living your life, there isn't. Once you choose a path, that's what happens on that path. So if you choose a path of, I just want to be a loving person and love everyone who crosses my path, then is there any such thing as hate? No. Because you're only focused on one thing. And realistically, even in duality, you can't think of both of them at the same time. Either you love or you don't. So that's what we're sitting here saying with the situation, the people trying to say, I'm in love, but I don't, you know, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Love is love.
Right.
If it's not love, then it's the opposite. There's no such thing as, well, I used to love you. No, I think what the problem is you're letting the world come in and make excuses, and the point of these excuses, what's the only reason you're letting them in is because of fears you haven't faced. So in the process of these fears, you're creating blocks. So you're thinking, I don't love this person anymore. Well, if you think about it, blocks makes it perfect sense, because actually that person denying it, they're blocking themselves from acknowledging it. So it's another block. So we have all these blocks. So if we have all these blocks in place and fears and that kind of stuff, but people keep saying, well, you know, and they're trying to, I guess it's the ideal, people always trying to convince you of something, saying, my feelings for you is 100% gone. Now, when you sort of look at that situation, we'll look at it from the psychologist's part. The first thing I see is a person who's trying to convince you. So we really don't have to go any further than that. Look at what she said. Or, you know, we have a choice where a guy will say, like in your situation, where they're going the other direction. But when we look at those things, we've heard the term before, actions speak louder than words.
Yep.
So people seem to take notice of that when things are going good. Do you really love me? You don't show it. Okay. And then we have people who are in the situations like this, okay, in the process of listening to this, you listen and say, yes, you're right. Actions do speak louder than words, because your words are saying no, but your actions are saying totally the opposite. So you're right. Actions do speak louder than words. So you sit here and think about it. Do we really need to tell these people how we really feel about it? Are they really going to honestly hear us at that moment? Because they're too busy trying to convince us otherwise, which is telling us that their actions that they do. So why should we worry about it? And ask, you know, like you said before, I've always been told to move on. Well, let's forget the word move on and say, I constantly keep moving forward, which means I don't stop. I try to live my life as a very spontaneous way, which is the way it's supposed to be. Too much thinking happens, and when too much thinking happens, we can think of all the possibilities, or even the worst case scenario, which if we would sit here and act upon what we feel at the moment we do, they really happen to, they happen, but those happenings happen very well, they happen very good. Things are going to take us places where we really want to be at.
So let me ask you this. So if one is moving on and doing what they want to do, like that's where I've gotten now, like I've gotten over the heartbreak and I'm doing my own thing and I'm doing well.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens, like, do I wait for him to contact me? Do I make a contact or how does that work?
What do you want to do?
Well, I have been contemplating contacting him. Because the last time he contacted me, I kind of blew him off. I just said, like, well, no, you know. He's like, well, do you want to be friends? I'm like, not really.
Well, you look at the situation and you say, and you try to understand why things happened the way they did, okay? And then when you sit there and talk to him or you contact him, leave a message to say, hey, you know something? It's just the way of looking at things. I realized that maybe I was still judging because of who you used to be. But now, I really want to get to know who you are now, because I never gave you a chance to do that. So therefore, let's meet up and see what happens. See, that wasn't
right.
Really saying anything judgmental toward anybody. You're just saying, okay, you came back. I haven't seen you in a while, so I really don't know who you are. But I never gave you the chance either. So now, I'd love to get together and see who you are now. Even
right, because I kind of want to see, like, whether there is anything or not at this point.
Well, I'm just saying to you, sweetie, in the process of all this stuff going on, people crossing paths, and you're thinking about it, I don't care what he would say, and I'm not really thinking about this, but I feel like he would, because I feel like it's one of those things that something that goes through his mind constantly. So I would essentially say that the way it comes to me, you should make contact. You don't get any answer, leave a message. But no emails, no texting. It has to be a phone call at least. But a phone call makes things happen a little bit quicker. We can actually sit down and talk to each other face to face. And I just have a funny feeling you're going to feel the difference. And I feel like it's going to be happen again? Because I keep getting the intensity of the whole thing of being more than it was.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That's kind of what I was thinking, too, is it needs to be a face-to-face contact at this point.
Yeah, I was trying to say, too, the situation. I wasn't trying to get in my personal life, but I'm just saying the one thing that irritates me the most is the idea of realizing it's just, like I said before, I know what I've gone through. I know what I was feeling. And it's the idea if I could sit there and help other people understand that. Maybe the people who are the ones who are thinking about running away to realize what they got before they do.
Right.
Sit there and say, you got this great, amazing thing. How does it feel right in your heart? I guarantee if you feel it in your heart, it's real. Because there's a difference between physical. Like I told the last lady, I was basically what I was trying to get to her, too. You're saying you don't feel no physical attraction. And you think that's weird. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
To meet two people, seriously, there was a case where two people met and the guy was in prison. And people would sit there and say, well, he's in prison. And, you know, why would you want to hook up with somebody who's in prison? Well, they found out later on he was innocent.
Wow.
It took her 5 years. It took her 5 to 6 years to prove it and to get him out of prison. And at the process, about, I think it was 1 or 2 years into it, they established a relationship between each other where they couldn't touch each other. They could see each other. They could talk to each other, but they couldn't touch each other for almost 5 years. And they said, their exact quote was, people ask me all the time, did you have to redo all this stuff again when you finally got to feel each other? And they said, no. We already established the real relationship. The physical part was just the last component.
Right.
But the relationship itself was established and it was real. We found out how we really felt about each other because we couldn't physically do anything, so we got to know each other very well. So that proves the point. When you meet people on Skype or Yahoo, and you have to do this for a period of time, as long as you do it the right way and you're totally honest with each other. I mean, when I was seeing this girl, she took me through her whole house. She wasn't really hiding. I mean, I don't feel like she was hiding anything. The only thing that it seems like some people look at the situation and go, well, you know, she's hiding now. But that doesn't mean we go back on the other part and tarnish it because of what she's doing now. Because right now she's trying to do that because she doesn't want to deal with what happened then. So therefore, we have to look at what happened then as real. So it's just if you look at the situation of establishing those kind of feelings, it doesn't matter how that happened. If they're established, they're real. If we could just get that across to everybody, especially in this society now, that there is no such thing as email readings, as in talking to people and really finding out something there. But there are other avenues. Once you see somebody face-to-face, no matter how it happens, that's totally different than talking to a text. With a text, you can't feel nothing. But I guarantee you, when we sit there, I was in a McDonald's, and I looked at her, and she said, I can see it in your face, and I can feel it from you. I know exactly how you feel. And I said, well, that's good, because I see the smile on your face, and I see you're just radiating over there. And she just smiled ear to ear. Now, those are the moments you look at and say, well, she didn't say that she loved you. I was like, okay, how can you describe to somebody at that moment, to somebody else, what it felt like? And then you ask yourself later on, do I have to? Because,
right.
You know, okay, there was this energy coming across the phone. You know, it was just two people at that
moment.
You have
to keep, like, between you and her and not your friends, right? Because
mm-hmm.
I think there's a point in life where you have to keep things secret because it's just important at that point in time.
Yeah. I was like, and people would sit and say, well, you talk about her on the air. I said, but you don't know who she is. England's a big place. I never told you where she lived. I said, she's in England. I'm here in the States. I said, me and her. The point is, I feel like it needed to be discussed because a lot of the people out there are getting angry and because of people saying, I love you, and saying, okay, you're a bad person. Because why? Because it puts you in a position to make you deal with what you're supposed to be dealing with, and you say, well, you're making me do something I don't want to do. I'm sorry. It's like trying to help people understand that when things are happening, and it makes
yeah.
you angry because the person won't do it the way you want to do, that means you're being selfish at that moment because you want things the way you want them. You're not looking at the big picture of what's going on as a person. You know, I get it's almost like putting it out there, too, and saying you don't realize that you and the effect that you have, not on just you, but its effect on everybody else that goes along with the whole thing. There's people around you. There's people around him. You know, the situation, or there were things about, we could say, around me, where you're dealing with these things because of everything else that's done, and just making that one decision to walk away from something doesn't just, and it's like trying to help them understand that when you walked away, that person at that moment have that kind of connection with somebody. It's not just it's like an emotional letdown, but the energy exchange that was so intense at that moment makes somebody feel like someone just put the sun out.
Yeah, it was. That's exactly it. It's like huge. To me, it's like death, abandonment. It's like the way mine went down, it was like freaky weird. Like, how did that happen so quickly? It's like a death.
And that's what I was trying to say. I got angry and said, hey, flat out, if you've said this before, when you sit there and looked at them and said, I want to be just friends, and you said, no, I don't want to be just friends because I can't. And you're trying to explain to them, I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm trying to explain something to you. The reason you're seeing it as being mean, but you have no intention of dealing with it. So I'm just saying, I've already gone in the mode of saying, here's something I don't want to lose. So I felt like if I express myself and tell them exactly how I feel about the whole thing, then that's going to work. And even doing what I do, I know for a fact that when you do that, it's just making them even angrier because they don't want to deal with it. And when you say those things, they can feel it. That's the point. But me, it makes it even more intense and say, okay, I don't want to talk about it, but every time you say it, I can feel it. So therefore, as a reminder of how much I got to push you away, maybe if I push you away far enough, I won't feel it.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. So we're trying to understand and say, okay, if you are a person who's getting angry and you're doing all these things, the reason that everything would probably come to be non-existent, where it'd be like you wouldn't have no pain. You wouldn't have to deal with your friends and family. You would have to figure out how to please them. And the other thing, because if you really look at the situation that you're in with the persons you're with, did you really have to prove to that person in the first place? And if you're sitting there talking about what we see with each other, as in a glow or a smile, no, you didn't. They forget about those things. And then they go right into the mode of saying, well, my friends and family are very important, and I'm not spending enough time with him. And I'm sitting going, when was the last time you heard a song that said, I need to spend more time with my friends and family?
Right.
I've never heard one.
No, I haven't either.
It's like, well, I'm sad because I didn't spend enough time with my loved one, my significant other. And my thing is telling everybody flat out, if you are with somebody and you tell them that they're the number one thing in your life and make them number two, don't expect a positive outcome. Because you're lying. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to that person. If you start thinking about your friends and family, because the truth is, a true family and true friends never go anywhere, no matter what you do and no matter who you're with.
Right.
They won't get mad. Because I had the same thing with her. I was like, okay, my people are getting mad at me. Okay, why are they getting mad at you? Because I won't listen to them. I said, well, when we first got together, they wouldn't listen to you. I said, if you look at the two, which one's worse? It's your friends not listening to you. You're sitting there saying, okay, this is the way it goes. I'm doing this, this, and this. They go, well, that's crazy. And the first thing came out of their mouth was, he's forcing you to marry him. He's forcing you to have kids. I'm sitting there going, did you talk to your friends? And she's like, yes, I did. Well, what did you say to them? Because you're the one that brought those subjects up. And we just realized that we mutually wanted those things. But she was the one that brought him up. So I sat here and said, well, your friends are not listening to you. She goes, yeah, why they not listening to me? You know, how come your friends, that's what I was going to try to do when we were still in the air. I was trying to say to everybody, I said, this is the way it goes. You know, that's a big prime example. I had my ex-fiance. I said she had these friends that were very demanding. When they called, she had to talk to him right then and there. Or she felt like she needed to talk to him right then and there. You know, and I said, that's her foundation to the, that's actually her ties to the past that she needs to let go of, and she's not ready to get let go of it, so it interferes with the relationship. And then I think, you know, you got two people who are basically got each other's throats and all kinds of stuff. And I said, you know what the difference is? And she goes, what? I said, my friends would call, and guess what we would hear? Because she even asked me that. My ex-fiance even told me that. She's like, notice your friends, when they call, that when we're doing something, we're talking or discussing or whatever it is, they always say, I'll call you back. I didn't mean to bother you. I'm sorry, but give me a call when you're not busy. And she goes, why is that? I said, it's called respect.
Right.
And I said, your friends that you call friends, the reason I say they're not friends, because they don't have that respect. they do not respect you, and they do not respect this relationship. Or you want to put it like this, they don't respect the relationship, so they can't respect
you. Well, and they want to control your relationship with her, you know.
Yeah, so because they know the fact that, you know, when things get good, I haven't been a good friend. I'm out the door.
We want, you know, we don't like her to be gone from us, so.
And I told this girl that I was dating this last summer, I told her that story, and I said, you see the difference? I said, you got to let things play out the way they're going to play out so you can see who your true friends are. Now, when we broke up, she came back and she goes, I'm glad I broke this off because you got mad. I said, well, you didn't look at the reason why I got mad. You know, you're sitting here trying to tell me one thing when you're doing another, which is flat out a lie. I understand that you're doing it because of your own fears and what's going through your, you know, a lot of stuff that you're going through and you're thinking too much, whatever. And that's just who you are at this moment. But I said, don't get mad at somebody because they got angry because you took something away from them. That's the way to go look at it. And she's like, I didn't take nothing from you. You know, you are who you are and that kind of stuff. So I didn't take anything from you. I said, yeah, you did. And she goes, what's that? I said, you. And then all of a sudden it was like, I got to go because I'm going to get a migraine. So I was like, really? And then I told her about, I said, how can I sit there and go against the guidance, what the angels are saying? I said, I think we should listen to them because they always lead us in good places. They always have for me and you. And I said, the vision I saw was us having a child. They gave me the name, all kind of stuff. And she's like, I don't want to talk about this. And I was like, but she will talk about what she wants. You know, she's okay with that. So you sit there and go, okay, how can we deal with this situation? I didn't know, really. It was one of those things where I didn't like getting yelled at, to tell you the truth. I didn't like her being angry at me, because I knew why, but it didn't matter what I said. It didn't make anything better. So I just didn't say, okay, I'll just express myself, do what we got to do, and then hopefully she'll see the realization of what's really up, and then she'll see that whole thing come back. Now, in the process of the whole thing, we've had a lot of, it's just a friend thing. The thing I was really freaked out about was when we were together, she knew those things. And she actually lost a friend who actually had contacted me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He contacted me and told me the total opposite of what he told her. And the reason she knew it, and she found out for herself, because she had my password to my Facebook, where she could go anytime she wanted to, and she went in and she saw that her friend that had told her one thing was sucking up to me. She goes, well, he told me this, watch out for you, that kind of stuff. And then he says this, he says something totally different to you. I said, well, how does that make you feel? And she goes, well, he's not really a friend. I said, well, I wish you could see all your friends like that when they mess up like that and say one thing and then say another. And she's like, me too. So you see, there were certain things that were going on that you hope, it's not just the ideal when you sort of look at the situation and say, okay, I love her, she loves me. But there was a lot of things that happened within that relationship, with building that love that you hope that also contributes to the outcome, where it's not the idea of getting back together, but two people that you feel should be together will be together, not back together, but just be together to continue what they started. And maybe this whole thing of even the separation was even part of the relationship too, because, I mean, sometimes when you look at these situations, people have a really bad habit of saying real quickly, you know, do you see me getting back with my ex? I said, well, first of all, take the ex out of it and tell me what their name is, who they are as a person. And then maybe the situation of changing your perception on that will change your perceptions on other things, too, of seeing them for as they are, just like you, a person who has fears, who has wants, needs, and desires, too, as well. And then that kind of realization, that's what I was saying before. People don't follow their hearts. They're following their anger. They're thinking too much. Well, that person did this to me, and this person did that to me. Well, that's great, but why? It doesn't mean you have to go back with them, but it might actually have a great effect on your future, as in relationships, too, to see what those things were all about. I mean,
well, it's kind of like the ego that's controlling you, right? So when you have that, I'm like, okay, I can never get back with this guy because, you know, he broke up with me, and that's wrong, and I get my ego part in there, like I get really feisty and like, that's not right. But at the same time, my heart calls out to him all the time. I can feel it, and I can feel it from him too. And I know, I know it's there. I just, We know that.
Oh, I heard that too, man. I was sitting here talking the other day. I was working on this company, that company I told everybody about, working for Orandom, which is orandom.com. Check it out. They call me Psychic X Journey on there. They see you on the cam all the time. And I've had people come in, and like I told everybody, that's how I met her. I met her through that company. And she came in there for a while. She was watching me for a long time. I knew someone was watching. I felt it, and I just told her. I said, so you want to get to know me better? She goes, yeah, but I don't want to do it in here. I said, well, I really can't give you any information, but for some reason, I never got in trouble for it either. I just said, well, it says Psychic X Journey on here. Put man on it. Go to Block Talk Radio, and I think you should be able to find it. And she did. I mean, I got an email in 20 minutes. So I was like, well, I think I'll just go with the flow on this and see where it goes. Well, I was talking to her. We were talking on Yahoo, typing back and forth together. And all of a sudden she says, turn your webcam on. So I turned my webcam on, which I hadn't done in a while. I didn't know you could do it on Yahoo. We did it on Yahoo. And then we went on Skype because sometimes we couldn't. It's like we had trouble hearing each other, but we could still type back and forth to each other and still see each other. So we're always looking for solutions to make it more intense and make it more real. Now, if you got two people doing that and the other person tells you on the other side, I don't think it was even real. That's definitely somebody's denial. But I was, sometimes you do get kind of baffled with the situation, especially when you're spending between 12 and 24 hours a day with this person. And this person keeps telling you that she doesn't like talking on the phone. She doesn't do this kind of stuff. She doesn't like sitting around. But she's doing it anyway. I've seen her too. She's like sitting on, I mean, I know how I am sitting on a freaking chair for too long. I can talk on the phone for a while. But, you know, sitting on a seat, I got to move around. But we sit there, like, with her computer. Her computer started getting hot, so she stuck a fan next to it. You know, you're looking for solutions to keep a connection going. And it does get baffling later on when the person's trying to sever that. But then if you really watch the actions, you start realizing they're not really severing it. I mean, give you an example, right? I talked to her on Yahoo. I told her those things I told you guys. I said how much I loved her, follow your heart. And then I came back and said, she was saying about, I'm taking pottery classes. I'm taking classes in college. Just all this stuff she's talking about on the outside. This is a person that's definitely not looking inward.
Yeah.
She's looking for outside solutions. And everybody goes, well, maybe she doesn't feel that way. Maybe she just feels like she should do all these things to give herself a better self-esteem. I said, I'm sorry, guys, but to really do that and to accomplish that, you need to go within. You have to change within you before the outer starts changing, opportunities, whatever it is. And I said, consider and talk to some lady and say that you're very gifted and talented, and she comes back and says, no, she's not. Can't have a good family. Can't really. I mean, I don't care who you are. You cannot have a good friend base. You cannot have people around you who really are there for you. To have that kind of attitude and have the friends that she keeps saying that she's had in her life for so many years.
Right.
And the guy that she said that this guy's like this and that, you just, every time I sit there and pick up on the hometown, I keep going, why do I feel like if this guy got hit by a bus tomorrow, her life would change? And that's not a mean, I'm not trying to be mean or nothing. I'm just saying there's a point of people letting people in their lives because they will not face certain fears or they will not sever certain connections to their past. I realize how much they're interfering with their future. Now here I am striving to change my life. But I don't like my life. But here I do. I continue living it. By finding outside solutions, I can still be here. Not realizing what the problem is being here. The outside solutions are never going to change anything. You might acquire a lot of knowledge, but you're also going to realize, I mean, I did that too at school and stuff, realizing, hey, I don't need to do this. How do you know this stuff? I mean, just some of the things like psychology. Why do psychology? Oh, you'll get more doors. You know how many doors I've gotten in just by listening? You know, and it's like, look at the situation. So I was there talking. So she was going to do what started the ball, I think, in some sense of the word, when she saw me, and she saw exactly how I felt. I felt like that might have been when it was playing on fear. But it was just the idea of certain other things that happened afterwards of trying to deny it when everybody started saying, she works really hard to deny something that she knows for a fact that does exist. And when it's like looking at people going, example, is when a person starts saying that you keep talking about us. I don't like it when you talk about us. okay, we're broke up. There is no us. But she keeps talking about an us. Or if you have a guy who says those things, that means they're thinking about
right.
it all the time.
That whole word, yeah, that word us. I would hear that.
I did it with her, too. She come back and told me she's with somebody else. She said, I have someone now. Okay?
Yeah.
And just the way she put it, it's really vague. You know, subconsciously, whatever it is, but it's vague. And then you sit and go. So I wrote back and said, why don't you do like with us? Go on Facebook and tell everybody you're in a relationship. She goes, I'll do what I want to do. I'm like, okay, thank you for the confirmation. I'm out of control, so I got to control you. And then she goes, even if I wasn't, I wouldn't want us. Now, that was a statement. I sit there and looked at for like, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes and saying, if I wasn't, I wouldn't want us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when you sit there and focus on those things and go, what can I do? I think that was the scariest thing, too. It's just the idea that realistically, every time I talk to her, I get anger, I get denial, I get all these things. So I'm trying to figure out, okay. And I think it's one of those things, the biggest thing that keeps coming to me all the time, the advice I've been giving a lot lately, even the idea of talking about this on the thing, because people thinking, well, you talk about this too much in the show. Well, if you're thinking that I'm talking too much, then you're not listening. And I guarantee you, there's people out there going through the same experiences I'm going to, or trying to figure it out, trying to understand it, trying to figure out why somebody who loved them so intensely, and you can't figure out why you're even broken up.
Right, right.
You knew there was a couple things that happened, okay? I mean, with her, it was almost like there was a couple things, and then she saw this friend of hers named James. And she said that all of a sudden it was like she couldn't wait to see me all the time. And all of a sudden she saw this James guy, and she told me, and she never said anything about him. She never told me about him or nothing. She just said, I'm going to meet this guy named James. He's a guy I haven't seen in years. And she goes, if you had a friend like that, too, that you haven't seen in years, you had a chance to see him, you'd see him, too, right? Well, I listened to her, everything she said, and she said that she had called him, that he hadn't called her. And I said, well, and I just felt like at that moment it was like a realization of a person who's fighting to hang on to her path. Because there, for a long time, it was just like planning and planning and planning. She even had a calendar on her ceiling saying, we're going to meet at this time. On this day, we've got it all figured out, and that's what we're working toward, meeting each other face-to-face on that day.
Right.
So I was telling everybody, it wasn't like one of those things, you know, there was no hyper-thinking or I'll give you an example, okay? So she talks about this guy she's supposed to be with, right? And she said, I know this guy deeply loves me. He just doesn't show it. He doesn't express it. But I know he does. See, the difference in relationships out there, to look at people and go, you're just so full of it. And she got mad. She goes, this guy says he loves you. No, but I know he does. He's been through a lot. He's been hurt. I'm sitting there going, you know, I'm really sick of hearing that. So have I. I've been run over by a freaking truck.
Yeah.
Some of these relationships I've been into. So, but I don't sit there and make you doubt or think because I won't say anything. And so I told her, I said, I want to tell you one thing. And then, you know, it's like the whole thing, I'm not trying to preach or nothing. I said, I have told you and I've done everything that you asked. I said, when I got my passport, I got everything done with that whole thing, birth certificate, everything I had to do, I got my passport. I said, isn't it true that everything I said I was going to do, I did? And she goes, I will have to say that that is true. And everything you said you were going to do, you did. She goes, but you didn't send the rest of that money you were supposed to send me. I said, that was your fault. You broke up the relationship. You broke the trust. So therefore, I didn't
right.
send the money
right.
I don't trust. I said, I would help you out with your phone bill because I realize you called me to do that, and I'm helping you. And I said, but, you know, you did this little thing. And she's like, but I said, you think about it. And you think about it really hard. Would you do the same? Would you trust that person? Because you can't figure out what the heck's even going on. So therefore, to trust you, I understand. I still feel you. I still feel it and all that kind of stuff. And she's like, well, and she was even jealous for a period of time, too. Because she broke it off. She went to Facebook and broke it off without even telling me. She said, I sent you an email. Well, even send me an email. You have my phone number. You can call me through Skype. You can see me through Skype. You could have told me.
Right.
She got quiet. She got real quiet. You know why? Because she knew for a fact right at that moment. She knew that was the truth. I love when people stop. But, you know, I sit here and told her, I said, this is what it is. So I said, but didn't I do everything I told you I was going to do? So what I did was, her phone bill was stressing her out so much, she couldn't focus on the relationship. So I was like, what can I do? It's guidance. You listen to your guidance. Listen to your heart. What's it tell me? Well, if you take that one burden off of her, and you know it's her fault, but at the same time, you just want to sit there and take the burden off to get back to where you was before. So she could see it for what it was. And I always tell people, if it was just the money, the relationship would have gotten more intense. As in, she would have been, I think, if you send somebody that much money as I sent her, I don't think you would have heard from her again.
Yeah.
The difference between judging things from the past, because some people say, well, I gave money to this one person one time, and I'm like, but this is not that one time. This is a different situation. So we went through all kinds of stuff, you know, like that. And I just, like, every time we did, I explained how I felt. I told her, you know, and I told her, I said, don't you want that? You told me before you're tired of going out with guys who are basically hiding you all the time because they were embarrassing you. She has a, she's a person who has some ailments, imperfections physically. She had heart surgery when she was very young because she had a hole in her heart and stuff like that. That was the very first thing she showed me on the cam. She showed me her scar on her chest. And I said, isn't that kind of crazy? Why would you want to go back to those other people who basically, in some sense of the word, are embarrassed of you, take advantage of you, and all this other stuff? When you got a person right here who always tries to think, or look, and it's like trying to think of ways to say things to her in a nice way to help her understand that this is not, in no sense of the word, trying to help you, want you to change. It's just seeing things within yourself and asking yourself why you're not embracing those talents and gifts that you have. I mean, after we broke up in that last conversation I had, it was basically saying, you're very gifted, very talented, and you have a lot to give the world. And she came back, she goes, that's it. And she said, bye. I was like, okay. I'm kind of baffled because usually when you pay people compliments and tell them things like that, which was a truth, because I felt like you'll feel it.
Well, she was just looking for a reason to break up. That's all that was. She was looking
for like,
that's what I think. When people say that's it, and I, you know, blah, they're just, it's not even what you said. They're just, like, looking for a reason.
Oh, yeah, because I was thinking myself when I was sitting talking to her. I said, you know, she's been thinking about getting back with me. And then I call her, and I just basically what I did was I went on Yahoo and said, hello, how are you? And just told her, I said, I've been thinking about you, and this is what I've been thinking about. And then just kind of like that way. And I said, you told me that after you broke it off and stuff that when I was, you want to be friends, and now, since I've suggested being friends, you don't want nothing to do with it. But you always told me that you'd be there for me when I was ready to be friends, and I said, now I need someone to talk to. And she did come back and say, what do you want to talk about? And that's what she told me about. I didn't like it when you say certain things.
Right. Because at that point, she's just looking for something to be wrong with you.
Yeah, so I was like, okay. I said, what did I do wrong? I said, I don't understand why you do that. I said, I've not done anything wrong. I've not said anything wrong. And it was kind of funny because it's like she tries to imply things like, my friends are listening. They're watching. Okay, I guess they're going to find out that somebody loves you. But that's all I've been talking about. I've never threatened you. I never said I was going to come over and confront you and you know, say, you've got to see this. Nothing. All I've ever said to her is exactly how I feel. And that's what I told my friend, too. She's like, you need to stop doing that. I said, I need to stop doing things out of fear. But I said, everything I've been doing is because the fear was what kind of reaction I'm going to get when I do call her or when I do talk to her through Yahoo. I said, what do? I face the fear and say, no, whatever happens, happens, but I feel like I need to do this. It's just being true to myself. And she's like, I understand it, but if you leave her alone, she will come around and she will come back like gangbusters. I said, okay, I understand that. I said, like I said before, I'm just saying to you that I feel like I needed to do that. I don't do it every freaking day.
Right.
That was like three weeks, and then this one here was like a week ago. And then I went in today and just basically said, hello, how are you? How you doing? And I said, you know, basically I was watching Star Trek, and I said, this thing just came to me out how I felt at that moment. I said, I just wrote back to her and said, I will always be yours. I don't care what I said now. I will always be your friend. I have That's what I said to her. I have, and always will be yours. And that's like, you can, you know, interpret it the way you want to, friends. It's just one of those things of saying that what you felt and what you seen when we were together,
mm-hmm.
that's how I felt then, and I still feel the same way now. So you do what you want. And she's been trying to play this thing where she hasn't been on the, she's not, I don't know, I just feel like when I sit here and feel the whole thing, it's going to play itself out. Yeah, I get the strange impression from everybody else too that she's definitely just going to make a decision and come back, and the point of being stubborn now could actually be something that could actually propel her even quicker to come back. That she's,
yeah, and the best thing to do is to let her go, because she's got to figure that out on her own. So you can't, mm-hmm. I don't think anything you do is going to help.
Oh, I know. That's what I told everybody else. I mean, I talk about it, but I said, that's one of those things where I think you need to do that, not to her, but I did tell her that, too. I said, you're always telling me to tell me to be your friend. You want me to work with this and move on. I said, but the one I have the problem with is you. So why can't we talk about this? And you say you want to be a friend. That's what friends do. I've had friends like that. I've dated. We've talked and worked things out. I guess they wasn't as intense as I thought they was, because this one's here. It's like, every time I say anything, it's like, okay, what'd I say? I can't even say that you're a great person. Because that's kind of funny, too. I should have told that. You're fantastic. You got a lot to give. You're awesome. And then she comes back. She goes, that's it. Bye. And then she comes back 2 seconds later and says, I mean, good night for now.
All right.
But she went on Facebook. I actually canceled my Facebook. I actually deactivated my Facebook for a period of time because she actually came on Facebook and said, she sent me a message, three of them. The first one was, things were fine until you called. And I'm sitting there going, okay, I guess you're still not ready to realize what's going on. So, and then she said, I'm thinking about just blocking you again. And I don't want to be friends, so better respect my wishes and don't ever contact me again. And then the second message came back 2 seconds later where she said, yes, I'm going to block you. So respect my wishes and leave me alone. I said, well, if you block me, I can't, you know, block Yahoo or something like that. But I was like, this is a person who's thinking real quickly here. And then 3 hours later, she comes back and says, I won't block you on Facebook, but leave me alone because I don't want to be friends. And then first, I was telling Rena to my friend, and she was like, the first thing that came out of her mouth was, why would you tell someone to leave you alone? You're not going to block them on Facebook like you was going to do previous 3 hours ago. You was going to block them and tell you to leave you alone, respect your choices. And now you're coming back nonchalantly just saying, I'm not going to block you on Facebook, but I don't want to be friends, so leave me alone.
Trying to keep you on the side kind of thing, sideline.
Yeah, like I'm going to leave this open, and if I decide I want to go back down the road again, because I swear to you, this is exactly what happened. But I wrote to her and told her about this thing. My sister said, follow your heart. When you follow the heart, it spiritually eliminates the mind. When you do that, it just opens up everything. And I said, it helps you, not just the idea of what's going on, but you can hear your guidance, you can hear your angels, you can hear God, the whole thing. And she wrote back, and she was very mad that I even said that to her. And I said,
right.
The reason I think she did is because she was freaked out and saying, that's a choice she made not to do, and she won't be reminded of it. Because right after that, she said, I have been listening to my her exact statement was, I've been listening to my guide, and I'm going down the path that I chose. I'm like, well, that's a contradiction. Because
came back. She's just trying to leave the door open because she doesn't know what she wants. She's leaving the door open. She wants to have everything, you know, that she can have. But, you know, for you and self-esteem, I would be like, maybe not, you know.
Oh, yeah, because she came back and she even said it flat out. I'm glad I did not go down that path. And that's what I was saying about saying before. I said, to everybody out there is listening, if someone ever says that to you, that is telling you flat out that they are deeply in love with you. They knew beyond a shadow of a doubt what was going to happen, and they were going to get everything they wanted, except for in the process of getting what they wanted, they're going to have to give up their friends and family and all that kind of stuff, as they see it. I'm going to have to give all these things up to have that. So I'm going to choose the path that I want, not what my guides and angels are pointing out to me, not what they're showing me about the truth, because if she did, she'd see the truth that going down that path was the idea of actually being truly loved.
Right.
Not like what she's got standing here right now, because I mean, I guess that'd be a hard realization for people to see and sit there and go, well, if I have that realization, I'm going to realize that right at that moment, the people around me who have been supporting me through all this that I'm actually listening to now are wrong.
Right.
And by listening to them and realizing they're wrong, I made a mistake. And, you know, some things in life are not that freaking, you know, where you sit there and go, oh, my God. But if you actually did meet that one person in your life that you were supposed to be with, the one, that would be a really intense realization that you made a mistake and walked away from that.
I guess some people like go back and look at that. I don't know, you know, or did they just move on because that's what they felt was the right thing, you know? But like in my case too, I'm like you. I don't really feel like they made the right choice at all. I think they like got scared and followed their fear.
Well, that's true too. But I've also said too, in situations like this, we, you know, sometimes you just don't entertain things. So you just kind of leave them alone until they do play themselves out.
And that's what I do. I'm just leaving it alone. But I figure they should be contacting us because we're great. So
I do get kind of crazy some days when I'm thinking to myself, going, "Why has she not contacted me?" Because I would love her.
They just don't. I don't know what it is. So I guess they're like stubborn.
Do you have the days when it's really strong that you can really feel them?
Yeah, I feel it. I get like a lot of signs. Don't you get like the signs? I get like a lot of signs. I'm trying to ignore them because I don't want to get into that. But yeah, I get the signs. I can feel them. Yeah.
I've got some intense ones. I was sitting there talking to my friend on the phone, and I was like thinking about her. And, you know, people keep saying this is going to happen by the end of the month, that the realizations and stuff and us getting back together is going to happen before the end of the month. And I was like, I wonder really. You know, I'm sitting there going, I know. I'm not going to give up. I feel it too. So I said it would be nice to have, you know, some kind of sign. Because I was thinking about, when I got back with this one girl, her favorite movie was Phantom of the Opera. And I was sitting there questioning about us getting back here at that time. And I walked in this store, and this lady was wearing this T-shirt with the Phantom of the Opera on it. I'm like, thank
wow.
you. Yeah, I was like, thank you, like that one. So I was thinking about that. And my friend called. And I was talking to her on the phone as she was driving. She turned the radio on. And this song, Lady in Red, came on. And I was like, oh, that was good. Well, her favorite colors are red and gold. And I guess she likes that song, Lady in Red, because it talks about red. She
mm-hmm.
likes red. So I was sitting there going, and we used to sit around and listen to music quite a bit. Where we would just sit there and look at each other. I wouldn't say stare. It was like, you know what it is when you're with somebody, if you was in right there in the same room sitting on the couch, you'd be sitting there with each other listening to music. And that's what we used to do a lot of.
Yeah.
If there's any other questions you want to ask me, because I'm sorry.
I think I'm good. That was a nice
show.
I got
like 38 seconds before I know they're going to cut me off. All I was saying was, if there's anything else you want to talk about, I'll kill the whole conversation and stay on one subject. But I'm just saying, you can call me back after the show's over with, because they're going to cut us off.
Yeah, no, I think I'm all good. I just, you know, I was just trying to figure out what to do with this guy and, you know, how to move forward or not move forward. So that was my question, really. If I should contact him or not.
Yeah, don't give up. Just move forward. But I feel like it's one of those things of having an opportunity to do so. Okay?
Okay, sounds good. Well, thank you.
All right.
Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.